last time on the Don and Mike Show.
From a show that I endorse. I like the Ron and Fez show.
I know.
Let's welcome now Fez. You have a thing for Buzz?
Is Buzz there?
I'm here, Fez. Hi.
I have fantasies that your newsman's going to stand behind me and yell, "This just in." I just want to say to Buzz,
yes?
Next time he's in New York,
uh-huh,
I want to make a deposit in the Burbank.
The Don and Mike Show.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara Show.
Sound crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
Hello, everybody. You got the Don and Mike Show. Coming to you live. 4 hours every weekday. From the studios of WJFK, Washington, D.C. Broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast. You can call Don and Mike anytime for free at 877-365-3636.
Oh, that's right.
But turn your radio down.
What?
No, who would you do call?
What?
Don't call to play the name game.
Everybody keep cool.
No calls to rape women.
Stay cool.
Don't ask
stay
when they're coming
cool
to your town. And don't call telling jokes.
You're very good, you.
Nothing to be afraid of.
The Don and Mike Show. You can get it.
He was a whore.
Move to your left. Move to your right. The Don and Mike Show. The best thing you're going to find.
The Don and Mike Show. I like talking to new ladies.
On your radio.
What?
Get into it.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll free at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
He was a whore.
This little girl had knockers.
That's right.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
So glad to be back.
Yeah.
So rested, so relaxed, so ready to enjoy martini time. The audio martini, what I can say. Ladies and gentlemen, FedEx Field Stadium announcer, Philip, Robert, Jonathan, Hotbagian.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
What? Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Lawrence of Alabia and all the ships at sea. Hey, these two go together like Bush and Dick. Cheney. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara.
Good.
All right, thank you, Rob. Standard, but good.
Thank you, and hello, and thank you for listening. This is not a tape.
This is not a drill.
No. This is not a test. Thank you for listening. New episode, and it is Tuesday, July 25. Phone number, same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was.
Thank you, Timmy. 877-365-3636. That indeed is your hotline to the hits.
Yeah.
Great to be back after a couple of shows away. Let's start today's show by announcing the doings tomorrow night. It's a Las Vegas-style show of such proportions, I cannot describe it to you now. Simply let me tell you that tomorrow night, we will be having a gigantic thank you, DC, for making us number one in the ratings, Las Vegas-style party.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Which is going to be bookended with the Charlie Stossel birthday show.
Oh, fantastic.
All of this tomorrow night, a gigantic free show at Club Element in D.C., which is right across the street from MCI Center.
Yeah, we're hoping it's not a bad element.
We will hit the stage at about 8:30, quarter till 9 tomorrow night. A free show, of course, with all of your favorites, the Nude Feud and the Underwear Fashion Show and the return of Dennis B. Murphy and special on-stage treat for Charlie Stossel. Unfortunately, feces of the species.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. This has been given the big ixnay by the D.C. Health Commission.
Not many things they don't let us do, but apparently the feces on stage, they have said ixnay to that day.
Right. I mean, you know, I guess these are the same guys that go into the big Wong restaurant every other weekend and shut it down because, you know, there's rats and vermin and stuff rolling around in there.
Something about serving, you know, bar food and serving drinks where they're... Our animal feces around, and we just can't do it.
And we gave them many different scenarios, including taking one of those vacuum seal bags.
Right.
And what if we took the animal poops
right.
and put them in vacuum seal bags? Even that.
Then you'd examine it while it was in the bag. You know, which is, there's so many ways around this, but no, they weren't having any of it.
No. Huh. So all it means is that feces of the species will happen this week on the show. It'll just happen here.
Yes.
In our wonderful studio.
We don't serve food here. We eat it. We don't serve it.
You know, it already smells like feces in here all the time.
Right.
So who really care?
Even with the brand new studio, I was really going to say that. I came in here, it smells like feces in here.
Well, you know, I think it smells like feces on the last show, but before we took our midnight vacation, our little sabbatical, you know, the air conditioning was busted, and we left. It was 109 degrees in here, and you had disc jockeys, many disc jockeys, all of us sweaty guys. The whole place smelled like crotch.
When are they going to finish the walls in here? Just how to, has anyone even asked that? I mean, I know we have air conditioning, but I look at this same asbestos-covered bare wall that they haven't done yet.
Mike,
I'm wondering when they're going to do it.
I think, in the eyes of the engineers,
yes,
the studio's complete.
I think you might be right.
I think that you
I really
what?
Think you're right.
I think they slapped it together good enough.
I think aesthetics don't matter, and I think it's like fine. You know, they clean the windows, but you notice the trim of the window is still covered with feces.
I mean, as far as they can tell, it sounds okay on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
The disc jockeys are no longer complaining because the air conditioning was fixed. So,
yes.
You know, in their mind, it's holiday time.
Done. Some of the disc jockeys are no longer complaining.
Yeah.
I see this every day. This is my little, you know, just this to me looks like it's a perfect little rectangle.
It's a hunk of wall that is missing. It's a hunk of, like, the walls in here, they're like prefab, like modular wall sections.
Right. It's acoustical
paneling.
Mm-hmm. That's right, Buzz. It's acoustical paneling that they're just supposed to stick up on the wall. And it's almost, I would say, 90% completed, except for one section right by the door and one section underneath the window. And I just, for the life of me. Now, I can understand over there, you see, with all those light fixtures and all the little control panels, they have to, like, measure it out and get it just right.
And the reason that they have to make sure that they don't put that panel up is that's how they effed up the air conditioner.
Exactly.
When they just went through, like, I guess with a fire axe,
right,
started chopping out pieces of the wall.
Sure.
That's when they short-circuited the air conditioner.
Is that the one where the wire's hanging down from the ceiling and over here where the fire alarm is hanging down from the ceiling?
That's right.
Just thought I'd just say that.
Listen,
I just wanted to get it off my chest.
I think I know how they think up on the third floor, and as far as they are concerned,
it's finished.
This is a completed project.
It's a job well done.
Right.
Right.
Quality is job zero at CBS Radio. Well, great to be back. Great to know that, you know, we can effectively take two shows off and come back and immediately
complain.
Start our bitching and whining.
Absolutely.
Just like we hadn't taken any time off at all.
I feel phenomenally well rested. I feel very recharged, but I still have this incredible desire to whine.
Right. Well, welcome to it. You know, 4 days alone with your wife, that's what it'll do to you. And
absolutely.
I know that you, like myself, spend 4 days with your wife, you know, sans kids.
Yeah, we, you know, was our first real big time away with the... I think we did it once last year. What am I saying? We do it every year now. You know, we're beyond that. But it's still nervous when you go away without the youngsters. You know, I have a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old, and it kind of freaks us out a little bit. But we were able to... Daddy was able to float away to dreamland.
Mine is still in Spain. And as a matter of fact, I'll tell you some stuff. He's called us a few times and told us various different things that have been happening to him. And
very good.
I found out some of the... I don't want to say conditions, but some of the rules for his trip, which apparently Frida says I just didn't listen to when she was telling me, but I have a problem thinking that because I got to think I would have the reaction that I had when we were away when she told me, like, for instance, his curfew time.
What time is his curfew time?
1:30 a.m.
Reasonable. Now, you're saying that you wish it was like 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Like,
he's 15.
Yeah, right. He's 15 years old. He's alone in a major Spanish city, living with strangers. 1:30 a.m. is the curfew time.
That creeped me out a little bit.
Yeah.
Right. And
didn't hear that when they went through it the first time.
No. Now, listen, to hear my honey cutty say it, she would say that they've had this discussion with me in the room a million times, and it's another one of the times when I selectively listen, when I just tune out. But I know that even though I do tune her out, that's something that I would grab onto. Yeah, Bo.
It's really not that bad if you think of it in terms, that's actually just 6:30 a.m. East Coast time. So it's really almost time to get up. He must be off to work.
Thank you. Thank you, Robbie. Oh, did you see the picture of Bo Spiewak's baby?
Yes, I did, the sonogram, and that's a strapping youngster you have there, but you were not able to determine the sex.
No, I was informed by my wife that we don't want to know what the sex is in advance.
Oh, okay, so you don't want to know, but how do you feel about that?
I would like to know, actually.
All I need is a glove, and I can tell you.
Really?
All I need is a glove and maybe 5 minutes alone with your wife.
Oh, and not, okay. And not a surgical glove.
No,
any glove will
like
do.
A field glove? Catcher's mitt?
A ski glove?
A mitten?
A work glove.
A catcher's mitt? A work glove?
Now you're giving yourself too much credit. You can't do it with a mitten. We tried that one time, and you can't do it with
a
mitten.
I could do it with a mitten with fingers.
Yes, with
it
fingers.
It couldn't be the mitten that just has the big round area and then the thumb area.
You have to be able to free your fingers up
to
be able to.
If it comes to that, perhaps I'll set up an appointment.
Although, you know what? I bet I could do it with just Einan finger.
You probably could.
Just with one finger, I could determine the sex of your baby.
Wow. Perhaps you come over tonight.
Do you have the restriction on a brand new glove or mitten, or can you still use anybody?
Yeah, just whatever we got laying around.
An old favorite.
Right.
But you'll be pleased to know that the circumference of the head of my child is right now 12.9 centimeters.
My God. It's going to be a big boy. I think it's going to be a boy.
The apple does not fall far from the tree. I mean, with a head that big, you would hope it's a boy.
Yeah, in other words,
it'd be like a girl with a Herman Munster-sized head.
No matter what, it'll have a career in modeling for bobblehead dolls. We'll be able to have that going, which is nice.
The baby comes out with a giant Herman Munster head with two big electrodes off the side.
Daddy.
Okay, listen, before we go to the weekend stuff. Oh, and today we have a guest on the show. We have that just, you know, I don't say this about many women, just piece of ass on the show today, the yodeler.
Oh, baby. You got me.
The yodeler.
Back to work and you got me.
The yodeler from Australia will be on the show today.
You see us all perk up when you said that piece of ass. And then we remembered the yodeler.
Right, the yodeler.
Oh.
Of course, the news, the big news of the day, and I guess we'll get to this, OJ on TV, and also the plane crash. Now, the Concorde plane crash.
Right.
This is how things work in the media world. I was oblivious to this until my mother-in-law called me. And I guess it was about 10:30, 11 o'clock, where she says, oh, turn on CNN, Concorde plane crash. They're saying celebrities could be on this plane. So, of course, I went right to CNN, and for the first hour where they were discussing this crash, since they really had no news except that a plane had crashed into a hotel, they kept saying the Concorde cost $8,000 for one person to fly from Paris to New York.
One way.
Yeah. And the plane is generally used by entertainers, movie stars, and professional athletes.
And they're all, you know, that's where the I hate to say it, but it's the journalistic frenzy of excitement is
that's
beginning.
Right. And then they start whipping themselves into a frenzy when you have goddamn Dr. Bob Arnott, who might as well be Dr. Seuss. You know, he's on there talking about, well, I know this about airplanes, and I know this about airplanes. They got every expert in the world, and in between all of these so-called experts, they keep saying, and don't forget, this is a plane for exclusive celebrities, CEOs, heads of corporations,
power brokers. And you know, you hear the Concorde, you immediately think there's going to be unbelievably important people on this plane. Right?
Athletes. At one point, they said on the Fox News Channel, and it was a quote: "This plane could have held athletes, supermodels, comedians, musicians, and television stars."
It's so jive.
And then
news media is just horrible now.
Then they find out that it's 100 Germans.
German tourists, and it literally falls off. The story disappears.
It's like, what? Oh, it's 100 Germans. Hell. Oh, look at all the time we wasted with this.
And a plane load of German tourists going on a cruise, and it's like, okay, we'll be back in 5 hours.
Yeah, right. Now back to our interview with Laura Korn.
It's true.
Is it still German tourist buzz?
Yes, it is. Yeah, 109 people on board, most of them German tourists headed for New York. And
four people on the ground, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Four poor suckers in a hotel just minding their own business. But it was just funny the way that they covered it.
Oh, absolutely.
For the first hour, over an hour, it was like they mentioned, you know, the Rolling Stones take this plane on their trips. Tiger Woods has taken this plane. Supermodel Elle McPherson was on this flight just last week. And then they get the news, and you can tell that the anchor people, at least on, maybe it was MSNBC I was watching at the time, they had not been prepped to the fact that it was 100 Germans. They just hear it in their ear where they go, okay, we have news now, breaking news, on the bottom of the screen, breaking news. And you see her looking at the computer screen when she says, and it was 100 German tourists. She composes herself for a moment. 100 German tourists have been killed. And you could tell that...
And then there's a sigh of relief.
She's let down, right? Like, now, du lieber!
Yeah.
It's not Tom Cruise.
Right, it's 100 German tourists.
It's not Jackie Chan. It's not The Offspring. It's not Smash Mouth.
Right away, you're going from, like, 20 updates an hour to maybe one. Right?
Yeah. Oh, now, listen. You know? It'll be on after the sports tonight.
Oh, absolutely.
On the local news. It'll, you know, normally be the story where they have, like, the mailman who's celebrating his 30th anniversary on the same route. That story will get bumped.
Sure.
And our final story, Concorde crashed, 100 German tourists. Stand by for David Letterman coming up next.
So long, everybody.
Good night from your news team at Lameau.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't the Concorde about a million years old? I know it's supersonic.
They
I know
are.
It's very, very like, it looks more modern than other planes, but isn't it
like,
old?
25 years old.
Yeah, it's like, it was like the late 60s. They were building those things, right?
Right. Not modern anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
German tourists is like, okay, we don't need to run the bulletins anymore.
Yeah, that's right. They're Germans. Don't worry about it.
Unbelievable.
Was there and you got to know that at some point somebody on one of these networks said, was there a famous German?
Right.
Who is a German who's famous? Who's the most famous German right now? Was Nena on the plane? You know, 99 Luftballons?
I was watching just before we came down here. They had the top of the hour update on ABC. And so they go, bah, 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 breaking news. And I'm like, okay, I'll find out all about the update on the crash. And they go to Austin, Texas, where Bush is announcing Cheney as his running back. Which
already
is
gone.
So you already know where the priority is. You know, I mean,
right? I mean, if NSYNC had been on that plane,
sure,
that would be. I mean, that would be like the JFK Princess Di story.
Absolutely,
that they're dying for.
No,
you know,
the fact that it's a
no
a
pun intended
plane load of German tourists going on a cruise to Ecuador. No, see you later.
Right, and they were all very proud that they had a picture of the boat. Then,
right?
Did you see the cruise boat, Deutsche? Line,
no, I did not see that.
That they were, you know, somebody did some real journalistic checking to find in the New York Harbor the ship.
Right.
So they just had from a helicopter a shot of the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
that
by tomorrow it'll be. I mean, it'll be a big story anytime there's a major plane crash. But I mean, it's just I would have the anchor. You could probably see the visible
right
attitude changing.
You're just looking for something to write about now besides Survivor. You know,
right.
Anything to break the monotony of that and move on to something else.
How come somebody famous could have been on that plane? That's what they're saying.
They weren't.
That they've been hedging their bets towards that.
Sure, absolutely.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air.
Did you guys get my pictures of your toilet seat?
You know, I received those up in the office today. We might look at them today. Are you the lady who, remember a while ago I gave away my toilet seat on the air?
Right. The black toilet seat?
The black toilet seat from our house. This lady, now there was no letter with you. Of course, I don't know because Charles Broyhill opens our mail. He just came in and gave me a bunch of pictures and said, pictures of toilet seat, and walked out of the room. You actually took the toilet seat to different spots and, like, posed it, right?
My kids did.
Yeah.
I made my kids do it.
It's got a picture of the toilet seat. I'll go get them at some point during the show. They've got a picture of the toilet seat in front of an elementary school.
So this is a happy fan who's received your toilet seat.
Yeah, the toilet seat on a motorcycle, the toilet seat on a swing set in a playground.
How wonderful.
And then finally, I guess, in this girl's living room.
Oh, that's great.
Where it is up on the mantle with the picture of you and me right in the middle.
Oh, that's very exciting.
Ma'am, did you do any cleaning of the toilet seat before giving it to the kids?
Oh, yeah, bleach.
Straight bleach.
Okay.
Yeah, probably a good idea before the kids handle it.
Thank you.
And the picture is in my husband's cave.
Oh, in your husband's case. Well, that is a fine addition to anyone's trophy case.
That's terrific.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Yeah, I'll bring those pictures down later and show it to you. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don.
Hello, where are you? You're on the air.
Oh, okay. Did you know that they just said on CNN that some of Hitler's family from Long Island were on that plane?
Oh, stop it now. The Hitler's. This is one of the never-forget people here.
They wish.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, they'd love that.
Oh, yeah.
There's some relatives of Adolf Hitler on that plane.
I don't think so.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Sounds terrific. Do we have can you set the mood for that?
Yeah. Oh, well, just, I got some happy music.
And how do you fit all that in your briefcase each and every day?
I got tons of stuff in here.
Is somebody playing a tape of us?
Yes. Sounds like it.
Well, I don't want to hear a tape of us. We're doing a live show today.
Right. We're finally back.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike. How you doing?
Hey, buddy. We're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, have you heard if they're going to be discounting those cruise tickets?
See, that's the attitude when it's a bunch of people from a foreign country.
Hey,
you don't get that if it's Americans on that plane.
Oh no. Well, Mike, you know, never forget.
Never forget. I agree.
Never forget.
That's true.
You know, better them than us.
Yes,
Don?
Of course.
Yeah, and those seats incidentally are $100 right now on Priceline.com.
Oh God.
I'm on eBay. Yeah.
William Shatner. Achtu Lieber.
William Shatner here.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Thank you for bringing me the Dynamite Cafe, and I go eat.
Right, this is not the Dynamite Cafe.
I love the Dynamite Show.
Should be.
Hey, this is Al Poyd in Spokane, KRAP, reporting about a Cessna that went down carrying Patrick Swayze.
Okay. Thank you, Altoid.
Altoid.
That's another good fake disc jockey name we should steal, though. On the Altoid Show.
Altoid.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, I was the guy that played the tape of you guys. I just want to let you know I got that off Napster.
All right, now, how did you call back so quickly? How did you pull that off?
Fingers.
What?
Redial.
Wow, that's fast. We have 12 lines all ringing at the same time.
There you go.
So you loaded that on Napster?
It's on Napster.
Oh. Wow, we should be pissed like the music artists are, man.
On Napster, really? I mean, the show is on that? I mean, you get segments of the show on Napster?
Absolutely.
Did you just search Don and Mike?
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Were there a bunch of clips?
Actually, this is the only one I've found so far.
Did you put it on there yourself, or did you just find it?
No, I just found it.
See, Don, I think it's time for you to testify before that congressional committee.
That's right. Me and those dudes from Metallica.
That's right, and Roger McGuinn.
Hey, Mon, I want to tell you, it's just not righteous, Mon. Me and the Birds and Metallica, we're in this together, Mon.
Stealing our hard work, our blood, our sweat.
Your art. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don.
Yes.
Hey. You know those pictures that your wife that were supposedly taken off?
Yes.
Yeah, they're not really off.
Sure they are.
They're actually still up. If you go to the website, they're still up.
This is like, how long, how many calls did we take before we got to the a-hole?
Five or six calls.
The guy that's just out there, you know, living for it.
Welcome
living
back.
For it. Disappointed in his own life. Just, hey.
Hey, Don.
Got news for you, buddy.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, this is John from Sacramento.
Yes, Johnny.
Yeah, I just wanted to condolences to one of my friends who passed away over the weekend.
Can you turn your radio down, John?
Sure.
All right. Do you think he killed himself from living with this guy?
Yeah, that might have happened.
Yes. No, his name was Merkel, Justin, and I just wanted to say he was a good friend.
Right. Why are you doing it on this show?
Just because I know a lot of people who listen to it that know him.
Right, there's no better way to pay tribute to a slain comrade, Mike, than to call the show. As a matter of fact, I expect that all those German families will be calling us today. Yes. Hello, Don and Mike. Yes. I would like to say, in the memory of Hans,
sure,
who was on the plane and was ignored by the American media when they found out it was not the Backstreet Boys on the plane.
Yeah, this is the Brian song of radio shows right here.
Yeah,
this is the terms of endearment of radio shows.
Right. Thank you. Goodbye. Hello, Don. Oops.
All right. Never mind. Enough of that.
All right, let me tell you about some of the stuff that happened to me when I was gone.
Okay.
I know I got some stuff from my getaway.
Yes.
You got stuff from your getaway.
Oh, yes.
You know, we both had some special time with our special ladies.
Oh, good.
You
did indeed.
You know, no kids. So, Frieda and I just went away. We went down south, they'd say.
Down south, they'd say.
Where the weather was warm. Mm-hmm. We had a great time with just the two of us. We went to this resort community. And what I loved about it, one of the things I loved about it, was the fact that this place was so big and was so widespread that when you checked into the hotel, immediately, they assigned you a golf cart.
Cool. Your very own?
Your very own golf cart.
Well, already you're happy.
Right. Because the rooms are spread so far, far and wide, they say. The rooms are spread out so much.
Look at out west, they'd say.
That you get your own golf cart. Because
going from point A to point B is such
impossible.
A long hike.
Right. So
that's cool.
We got a golf cart, and it was funny. It was almost like, if you remember the Gary Shandling TV show, not the one where he was Hey Now, but the one...
It's Gary Shandling.
Yeah, the one,
right.
This is the theme to Gary show, where he would actually drive to work every day,
right,
in a golf cart.
He'd drive across the set.
Right. Well, we were in these golf carts, and you're supposed to just drive them within the parameters of this resort area.
You have to stay on a path?
That we were at. Yeah, well, they have... little roads like where service vehicles would go and stuff. But
little, mini, little pretend roads.
They also have these little paths. Well, one day we were going somewhere, trying to find a beach, and I said to Frida, I bet if we go straight, that we'll have a shortcut. And the next thing you know, we were out on not a major highway, but a two-way highway. I mean, with a yellow line down the middle of the road.
You like went between bushes and all of a sudden found yourselves in a major road.
And we got out there and we had a golf cart that was, among all of the golf carts we saw at this resort, the golf cart we had to be the slowest. You could just absolutely floor this thing.
Right.
It would just go as fast as it wanted to. And even when it would go down a hill, you would just lay on the gas real heavy, and it would speed up, then it would automatically just break down.
Right. Yeah, it's got a governor on it.
Right, it would start to slow down.
Not a governor, but like you'd have on a combustion engine, but it's a, you know, they don't go.
And not a governor like George Bush. I mean, you mean the mechanical.
Yeah, mechanical thing to slow it down. It's kind of frustrating when you want to open that baby up.
So, we were out on the road, and because she was looking at the map, which was like a cartoon map. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing was real. There was no real scale on this map of this resort where it said, you know, here's the workout center and then here's, you know, where you can go to have dinner and stuff.
Right.
She wasn't even paying attention to
it. Here's the right turn that'll take you onto a highway where you'll die.
All of a sudden, she looks up and she goes, where are we? And I said, honey, we're taking the shortcut to the beach. And she said, oh, well, this is nice. This is nice out here. We hadn't seen this before. And then we hear from behind us, beep, beep, beep. And a car just goes whizzing by it. And she says, what is that car doing? I thought that this was a closed area.
Yeah.
And then she realizes that I've actually taken us out, and now we're on a real road.
Yeah.
With a real car.
Wow. Yeah, you idiot. And that's where you're going.
By the time she noticed, we were about half mile down the road.
That's supposed to be out here.
So she said, turn around. I said, how am I supposed to turn around? There are cars coming both ways.
Definitely goddamn
fool. There was not enough of a shoulder for the golf cart to ride in. So I was actually just in the right-hand lane.
Oh, my God. So there's no way for you to get back.
Right. Well, the only way to get back was we had to follow the road all the way up until there was a stop sign. Then we had to get off the main road, turn around, and drive all the way back on the main road in the golf cart.
You're going to be killed.
Yeah, it was fun. And then after that, she decided that I couldn't drive the golf cart anymore.
Oh. Yeah, I can't imagine why that would be the case.
And, you know, even when she was driving the golf cart,
right,
it was like driving with her or riding a bike with her, where would be, we'd be driving along, and I'd say, I think that's your turn right there. She would pass the turn, and then she'd go, oh, right, that's the turn. And she'd like do a back turn with this thing, and almost throw me out of the golf cart. She drove me crazy with it. So we finally find the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got to the beach, we saw something that I just considered to be gross.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really gross. Topless. Topless girls on the beach.
Wow.
No, these girls are like 9.
Oh.
Okay?
Oh, no. I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like that at all.
It's like, I was looking at, we're sitting down by the water, just chilling out.
That's like, that's too old to be little kids that are like,
yeah,
that.
And not
too young.
Not old enough to be girls yet, but
right,
young enough where, you know, it was gross. I said to her,
disturbing.
We were sitting on this little private beach area, and I said, oh, look, hey, those kids look like handsome.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were 3 very ugly boys. And they turned around, and they had what looked to be, I thought they had like little boy speedos on.
Right.
But as it turns out, they were girls' bottoms to their little girl bikinis.
Were they foreign people?
Yeah, of course they were.
What the hell's the deal with that?
Of course they were.
Put a top on.
So I'm sitting there, and I'm watching this, and I'm sitting for you, Jesus Christ, that's gross. And she said, they look like boys. You know, and at this point then, you know, I feel like pedophile because I said to her, well, no, you got to look carefully. Look,
right,
they're not boys. They're young girls. So we watched this and we were disgusted by this. And we heard other people around us saying, like, oh, look at those. What's wrong with those people? And then they did the weirdest thing.
Was mommy wearing no top either?
No. Mommy had a top on.
Mommy had a top.
Yeah, mommy had a top on. When it was time for the girls to come over and change and put on some clothes to go up and walk by the area where you could get Cokes and snacks and stuff.
Right.
Now, keep in mind, these girls, there's 3 of them, like maybe 8 and a couple of 9-year-olds. They've been running around with no top on all morning long.
Mm-hmm.
When it's time for mommy to take them to the snack shop,
yeah,
they come over and mommy makes a big production out of standing up, getting a giant towel, and huddling over the girls with a towel so that they could put on their tops.
Weird.
Yeah,
gotta be a cultural thing.
It's European.
Odd. Maybe
it's
a cultural thing, you know?
It's gotta be European, right? It's
disturbing, though.
Yeah, I mean, it really, really oogied me out.
You see, in this country, there's a chance you might get locked up.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
You really do.
Right. Right. It was nutty. It was just, it was bad. And every day that we went back to this little stretch of beach, this same family was there, you know, and they kept doing the same thing.
Were you tempted, even though they were foreigners, to
say something, yeah.
Tap them on the shoulders, excuse me.
Right.
Cover them up.
You know, and I said that to Frieda, and she said, well, no, if you go and say something, then they'll know that you've noticed.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's
true. And I said, well, come on, everybody on this beach has noticed.
Well, sure, it's disturbing.
Right. And then she said, well, why don't you go complain to the management? And I said, well, I don't want to be the one to go to the manager again. You know, I feel like, hi, listen, it's me. We're in room 323. Listen, there's some 8 and 9-year-old girls out on the beach. I couldn't help but noticing that they're topless. Can you do something
That'd
about that?
That'd be one where I'd ask my wife to do it, you know, and she wouldn't do it. But, I mean, I'd say, did you say, Frieda, why don't you go say something?
No, and frankly, Frieda didn't care enough. Frieda said, oh, you know, when I was a little girl, when we went to the beach, I wouldn't wear a shirt either. I said, but look at these girls, you know, like 8 or 9-year-old girls.
It was, yeah, that's weird.
It was a situation probably only Charlie Broyhill could have truly appreciated,
mm-hmm,
and enjoyed, but it made me feel oogie. And then
my daughters are 5 and 3, and I'm desperately trying to find those swimsuits from the you know, the 1800s, you know, with the full high neck and the long sleeves. They just don't make them anymore for
wet
little
suits.
Kids.
The answer is wet.
That's the idea.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
Right, big wetsuits. So I think it was the first night that we were there that we saw this, and this image stuck with me.
Haunted you?
For a while. It was like everywhere we would go throughout this little resort on a little golf cart, and this place was loaded with these goddamn Europeans. Where I'd look at it, I would say, oh, look at it, it's that. It's the bad mother. And she would say, no.
Bad mother.
That's not the bad mother. I'd say, yes, it is. Listen to her. Let's pull the cart up and listen.
Right.
She's got to be speaking French. It is the woman. And, you know, a lot of these Europeans, they look the same. You know, the women are...
They're easy to spot.
The women are rail thin. You know, they have virtually no makeup on. They've got the weird European bathing suit. And the guy...
Pancake boobies.
Yeah. And all of the guys are extremely fat, and they all wear the smallest bathing suits.
It's disgusting.
Like, just, you know, you could spot them a mile away.
Right.
So that's the game that we ended up playing for most of the weekend.
Where are the foreigners?
Trying to decide. You know, some people, I'll give them credit. Some people, because we spent some time in the Miami area, where there's a large Hispanic population,
mm-hmm,
some of those people really fooled us, because we'd be sitting out on the beach, and you got a guy with gray hair and a gray beard,
right?
Light skin, real pale, real pasty looking, like Buzz. And the guy had on a Honeywell cap, you know, meaning he works for Honeywell,
right,
computers. So I would say to Frieda, we'd be playing the game, I'd say, that guy right down there, guarantee it, British. And she'd say,
you're sitting there with your red, white, and blue bathing suit.
She would say, no, not British.
You come down in the morning and you put the your little umbrella in the sand and right next to it, the American flag.
She said, not British, Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so the game would be to either wait for the people to come up and walk by us, or
right,
we would wait until they went to get something to eat, and we would walk up next to them. Well,
not to strike up a conversation, simply to hear the accent.
Eavesdrop, right, to figure out, you know, where they were from.
Right.
So this one guy,
funny.
We really, I was positive, he's British all the way. I said,
right.
Look at this dude. So we follow him up to the gift shop, and he goes up to the gift shop, and all of a sudden it's like...
Was that Spanish?
Yeah.
He's speaking, so he could be from Spain or
yes,
from the Caribbean, or
yeah,
he could be from South America.
Not a chance, though. Like, I pictured him going, hello.
Mexican.
Yeah, no, I mean, the guy, I guess he was Hispanic. I guess he was.
Were you keeping a little chart or something like that?
We were counting Americans.
Counting Americans.
I was counting Americans.
Feeling a little isolated.
She was not counting the Americans. I was counting.
Counting Americans.
Counting the Americans.
Well, hi there. Well, that's, you know, in case they're, you know, all of a sudden World War III kicks up, it's good to know who the Americans are.
You know, and the TV was a little unsettling.
Yes.
you know, when you turn the TV on and like three English speaking channels and
you're killing me with this.
And all of the other channels were like A&E, Mundo, I mean all Nickelodeon. I turn on Ren and Stimpy.
Right.
They got Ren and Stimpy and I go, why not see? Hey, Stimpy. I mean, everything's in
right.
Mexican down there. Finally, I found HBO, and I turned on HBO, except it has Spanish subtitles.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But they have the English dialogue that you can hear. They just have the subtitles.
And in that way, it was almost a learning experience.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because we were watching part of a movie. I mean, she didn't let me watch a lot of television, you know, because it was time just for us to be together.
Right.
But, like, when we would be getting cleaned up for dinner and stuff, I would have it on. And it turned on one day, that movie, The Negotiator, with Sam Jackson.
Right.
And at one point, Sam Jackson is saying, oh, you MF-er.
Right.
And the other guy is saying, well, F you. And I said to Frida, hey, let's find out what the Spanish word for F is.
Right.
Let's see how they say mother effer. And we finally figured out that all they would kept saying was El Diablo. Or Diablo.
It's like the devil.
Yeah, the devil. It would be
the devil with you.
You are the devil.
Huh.
Instead of saying mother effer, you know, F me, F
so the subtitles were being censored in a way.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Huh, that's interesting.
Absolutely. And we had just a real good time. The only real moment of trepidation was the first day that we saw the kids. The topless Swedes or whatever they were down on the beach. And we were back up in the main part of this compound, we're having a drink before dinner, and I was sitting down, and I said to her, gee, I wonder what Bart's doing now. And she said, well, he probably is still out. This was at about 6:30, and now Spain is 6 hours ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
I said, 12:30? Jesus. And then she said, no, his curfew's not until 1:30 in the morning. And then, I mean, my jaw... just dropped. My jaw dropped, and actually, you could hear it as it went, like that.
You get ready to book the plane over to Spain.
And I said, 1:30 in the morning? Whose kind of idea is 1:30 in the morning? And she said, you should have gone to the meetings. And I said, no, honey, that's why, you know, when I'm at work, when the meetings at school are going on, I said,
is he the average age, or is he on the younger side?
He's the youngest. He's 15. There's 15 and 16-year-olds who are there.
So it's 15 to 16-year-olds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But still, 1:30, she said, but it's the way they do things in Spain. She said, they don't have dinner until 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't get dark until 10 o'clock at night. Well, no, not all right. I'm still not all right with it. I said,
but I mean, if that's the reason that maybe, you know, that if all the kids are out at that hour, like, you know, kids with families and stuff like that.
See, but I don't know.
I mean, 1:30, though.
1:30 is pretty late.
Wow.
1:30 is pretty late. So, I mean, she and I went around... and around about this, and I'm sure at some point she'll call in to discuss this with me. I was flabbergasted by this, and then
what kind of country is that where they wait till 10 o'clock at night?
Then we get into the whole discussion about alcohol, right? Because like all parents, we're concerned about our kid with alcohol, and she said, well, you know that he may have the opportunity to have a glass of wine with dinner. That's the European way, and I said. Now that I signed off on. You know, if he's there, if the other kids are doing it, if the Spanish family that he's living with was doing it, that's fine. And then she drops this one on me, and again my jaw just goes. She says, you know, of course, that there is no legal drinking age in Spain. And I said, what? She says, there's no legal drinking age in Spain. I said, why didn't you tell me this stuff? And then she says, we told you, it was one of the times you just tuned us out. I said, wait.
So can a 13-year-old, like, saddle up to a bar and order a scotch?
That was my question. And according to my wife, perhaps.
Really?
Perhaps a 13-year-old kid can go into a bar and just buy a drink.
Amazing. I'd love to find that out, whether that's true. I mean, whether they could walk in and really order a hard drink. I mean, I would think that there would be some discretion on the...
I don't know.
It's probably just flexible, you know, that the kids probably drink wine with their families.
I don't know. All I know is it flipped me out, man. I mean, it kind of... we had a great time on this trip, except...
foreign countries where you get 9-year-olds running around topless ordering hard liquor.
That one night...
Hello?
Honey.
Oh, hi, boo-boo.
Hi, sweetie.
I'm pulling weeds.
Oh, good. I'm just talking about our little Minai vacation.
Yeah, I heard. I was listening.
Oh, and listen, we did not play Donkey Polo.
No?
They had a place where you could have played Donkey Polo.
That sounds exciting.
And thank God she didn't make me, because we went driving past it in our little golf cart, and she said, oh, look, Donkey Polo. And I said,
the little ones, like little burros?
No, like the ones that we wore on when we played that basketball game against the girls in bikinis.
That's a good way to die.
I said, there's no way I'm getting back on a burro. Honey,
I didn't make you do anything you didn't want to do.
But
you were very sweet to offer to do whatever I wanted.
I was open to absolutely anything she wanted. I said, listen, you know, we're here for you.
Right.
Whatever you want, you name it. And, you know, as it turns out, we ended up doing most everything that I like to do, but the option was there.
I'm going to pick up the real phone. Wait a minute.
All right.
It's more fun for me when you're happy. I didn't want to go on a trail ride with you to see you go plodding along, bored out of your mind, smoking a cigar on a horse, dropping ashes on him. You know, it was better just to do things that we both like to do.
That's a beautiful visual.
There are a few things in the world that we both like to do.
Honey, let's talk about the drinking age in Spain.
Dougie, you know what? This is why I have these discussions with you, and you just think I'm going, wow, 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 wow.
I told you, but I would remember this. You know, you tell me.
I did. We had family jokes about it. We talked about it. I brought home every piece of literature that said, although the laws are this way in Spain, we expect you not to drink. You know, I mean, I brought home whole packets of information.
Well, now, I don't read that stuff. Well, but I rely on you for my knowledge of things like that.
You know, you should read those. But I thought you took everything very progressively, with an understanding that Bart was growing up and a responsible young
man. Honey, he is 15.
I was impressed with how you handled it, and I thought, oh, this isn't going to sit well with you. But then when it did, I thought, hey, way to go. He realizes even though Bart's his little boy, he's growing up, and he's a good boy and a responsible boy. And I just find out you were thinking about football when I was...
No, I wasn't, listen, honey, I wasn't thinking about football or anything else you think clouds in my mind when we have these discussions. The point is, you guys never said to me,
sugar,
you never sat me down and said, he's going to be drinking wine at dinner, and they have no legal drinking age.
Sugar, we even discussed it on the air, jokingly, that he could buy porn and he could drink if he was so inclined.
When the last time we talked to him before he went over there, what are you going to do over there?
He said
he's
going to
buy pornography, and I think the subject of drinking maybe came up.
Yeah, and didn't he tell you that a couple of friends from his job, the older friends obviously, said, bring me a bottle of Spanish wine back? And didn't Mike, jokingly say, oh no, never mind, don't bring me any. But
yeah, I said, bring me a bottle of wine.
But there's a difference between him saying to his Uncle Mike, you know, hey, I'll bring you back a bottle of wine,
well,
Uncle
how do you
Mike.
Think and he was going to buy the
Well, I would think that he would go to his mama, to his Spanish mama.
Ba-ba-ba-ba.
Oh, and you know, he's changed his name also over there.
Oh, really?
Since his Spanish name is Bartito,
yeah,
he wants to simply be known in Spain as Tito.
Tito.
So his name now is...
Oh, one of the great Jacksons.
His name is Tito.
That's fantastic.
So, listen, once we got through my original, you know, jaw-dropping on the floor about this, it was all right, and as it turns out...
not to be all right, but go ahead.
Pardon me?
It was kind of too late not to be all right.
That discussion lasted maybe an hour.
I know, but you're saying it was all right that he was there, like, a week after he left. Okay,
well, there's
ahead.
Nothing to say that I couldn't get on a plane and go over there and get him.
Yeah, that would be good.
Right? Well, you know, it's one of the thoughts that crossed my mind.
Wow.
To go pull him out. But, you know, as it turns out...
Extricate him from the country.
Tito, come here right now.
As it turns out, he called us a couple of times. He has a bad habit of calling us when it's convenient for him, like at 9 a.m. his time, which is 3 a.m., our time.
He did that when he was doing it. Yeah. It's amazing how kids travel nowadays. It really is.
When he was in Europe last year. So we got a couple of calls at 3 a.m., and we told him, don't call us anymore at 3 a.m., call us later. And finally we did receive a call, as a matter of fact, this morning, a call from him, and just I talked to him. Frida was out walking the dogs or doing whatever she was doing. So I talked to him, and I got some hard and fast facts. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, what's the deal with the drinking over there? And he said, I had a glass of wine with my dinner 2 nights ago. I said, that's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're with your, you know, with the mama and papa. But then he says in the family that there's not a papa. It's just the mama and four brothers.
Oh, God.
One of who is 20 years old.
Oh, dear. And there's no father figure.
And then he said, ow. And I said, what's going on? And he said, oh, I just... I touched myself on the cheek where I had a I have a something hurt me, and I said, "What happened?" And he said, "Well, last night we were sitting out on the front porch at about 1 a.m. and somebody accidentally burned me in the face with their cigarette."
Oh, God.
And again, you know, these wild thoughts are going through my mind.
You know, with a scar.
Right. And, you know, he said to me, "Dad, it's nothing." You know, he's a lot better calming me down than she is.
Because I do.
Listen to her. All she does is laugh about it. Like, you know, willy-nilly throw her hands in the air. Well, it's a learning experience for him. You know, I'm traumatized by this. But at least I had the chance to speak to the boy today. And I said, "So, tell me something. When this happened, how did this happen?" And he said, "Well, one of the older guys was having a cigarette. They were roughhousing. And Bart lunged towards the guy. So then just barely grazed me." So I said, "Okay, that's fine. Now, about the drinking." He said, no drinking, no smoke." I said, "Great." And I said, "What about sex?" And he said, "Oh, poco sex." And I had to stop for a second. And I
that's
know
a little sex.
Poco means just a little sex.
Uh-huh.
But he's working me.
Right.
Yeah. He's just working me, just like Frida. They both live to work.
that must be it.
That's it.
So he's enjoying his stay over there.
Yeah, he's having a great time. And I mean, he's doing like, he's with his school group during the day where they go on tours and junk, and he's learning all this Spanish junk. And he's the only thing I think that he really said that stuck with me beyond all of the stuff that I'm just trying as hard as I can to block out of my mind now was that he watched the Spanish version of Big Brother on TV.
Hey, cool.
And that it was much, much better than the American version.
Yeah, a little more raw, probably.
Of Big Brother. Yeah, that they had naked people and stuff.
Ah, yeah. Hey, bueno.
Yeah.
Well, you're being a very good dad. I know this is there's a lot of more growing pains that you have to go through than Bart has to go through.
Honey, it's killing me. Are you kidding me?
I know. I find that endearing.
Well, I find it absolutely nauseating to go through this. And you know, to be sitting at this wonderful resort where I've just been traumatized by seeing, you know, these European kids, you know, these 9-year-old girls with no top on.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, I realize my son is in that environment.
1 a.m., getting burned by cigarettes, drinking wine.
Right. Probably hanging out on the front porch with topless 9-year-olds.
He's so lucky to be able to have these experiences. I mean, you know, I wish that we had been that lucky.
Yeah, I was talking to my wife about that. I mean, it's amazing. You go into the airports now in the summertime, and you see kids all over the airport, and they're all going to these. And I never did it. And, I know most people are our age never.
You know, I don't know who is screening the calls today, but I don't want all of these calls. Okay, I don't want the guy from Florida calling saying he went to Spain at 14 and he got drunk every night.
Oh, come on.
And I don't want the guy Larry from Virginia calling saying he visited Spain and he saw Bart buying liquor there.
Right. See, your wife and your son and then everybody in the back room also wanted to work.
Honey, come on. Here, you take some of these calls, honey. You take this. Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Frida Show. Go ahead, please.
Come on, buddy.
No.
He can't handle it. You have to talk to me.
Frida, buddy. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I will tell you this, that to the Spanish population over there, that drinking is not a big deal to them. The only thing is when the American kids go with a bunch of their friends, that's the only thing they're going over there to do.
Well, you know what?
Tequila is, and Don, you're right, wine, you drink that with dinner. But when you go out and you burn your face with cigarettes, that's because you've been drinking tequila.
Oh, okay. Man, listen to this guy.
There you go, honey. Here you go.
I went to Spain when I was in the seventh grade.
All right, shut up for a second.
Okay.
When we were having this discussion over the weekend, I said to my husband, I said, you know, don't be that upset. They don't have a problem with juvenile drinking in Spain.
No, they don't. The American kids
do. No, that's what my husband said. He said, they don't have a problem. I have a problem. And he perfectly
I'll give you a bit of advice.
Wait a minute.
Oh,
let
no.
me talk.
No thanks for your advice.
When Bart gets home, check his luggage.
Hey, do all your listeners just keep on talking when you talk?
Yeah. They just hung up on him.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, good. Thanks. Because you were sitting there with several martinis under your belt saying, they don't have a problem with drinking. I have a problem with drinking.
I'm 41 years old, going on 42.
What I was trying to explain to you was not that they are... think it's okay for drunken children to be hanging around. It's just that the children don't get I mean, we have more of a problem with juveniles drinking in this country with the laws that we have than they have in Spain.
You know, it's going to have to be a testament to the fact that I think he's a good kid and I trust him.
Right.
You know, and that is true. What Frieda just said is absolutely true, too.
Yeah.
I think that over there, the reason they don't have, the Spanish kids don't have a problem with it is because they don't have the big stigma. It's like anything else that you hold up as you can't do this is going to be the forbidden fruit.
Right.
And kids will always gravitate toward the forbidden fruit.
You want to take another call for another one of our happy listeners?
Sure.
Here you go. Hello, you're on the Frieda Show.
Don Mike.
Hello.
Hello, E. Miguel.
Listen to this guy.
Here we go.
Radio God.
Here's another one for you, honey.
This is how it goes. My uncle was in the Army, and I went over there for a month and a half. The first time I got drunk was in a McDonald's over there. They have beer on top of McDonald's. No joke. I kid you not.
I kid you not.
I yes you not.
I yes you not.
All right, honey.
All right,
they have beer and whatnot.
Beer for ye.
Nice beer for ye when we were in the Army. Oh. Getting drunk in the McDonald's.
I'll have a Mac beer, please.
We went to Spain. Well, be all you can be.
I have no worries about Bart, really. I just don't like him being in a situation where I'm not able to at least have some partial control to find out what's going on.
But what I was telling you that night is even when your kids are under your own roof, when you go out and there's liquor in your bar, you don't have control every second.
Oh, you know, and now we're having the same argument that we had that night. I said, yes, that's true. When we go out at night, we don't lock up the booze in our house. But, of course, the argument to that is that we come home at night, okay?
Yeah.
He is, you know, 6,000 miles away in a foreign country. Well, he's not going to see us for another 3 weeks.
And you know, in all seriousness, if he's out there, if he ever has an evening where that might happen, if he gets together with the American kids and they do that, he's going to get an awakening anyway. I wouldn't worry about it.
No.
I think he's going to be fine. And
yeah,
I think that they're chaperoned over there.
That's exactly right. If he did do something excessive over there, he'd be sent home. They'd make that perfectly clear in the program, Boo.
I wouldn't
send him somewhere where he could just drink willy-nilly.
I'm just concerned. That's all. I'm concerned. I'm concerned about the things that I wasn't told about.
And if you're so concerned, then do what Bart and I have asked you to do and limit your martinis and set the good example.
Now listen, how can you argue with this? Honey, I'm a 41-year-old man.
Yes, but
I have earned the right when I come home from a hard day slaying the dragon to have a frosty brew.
And on occasion.
Rob,
I'm applauding that.
He is a 15-year-old boy.
On occasion, but what you're trying to set as an example of your lifestyle is that you don't want to have a nightly.
You know, this ends up being not about him, ends up being about me. Right? I'm the grown up being treated like I'm the child. He's the child who's being given all the luxuries that a grown up has.
When we were on vacation at the beach and I was drinking and I was having a beer because it was so darn hot down. Bart said to me, you know, I noticed you're drinking a beer like every day. And I said, I think you're right. I got to cool it. So I'd stop drinking.
Well, good for you, St. Frieda. Good for you.
Thank you.
Good for you.
All right, boo-boo.
All right, honey.
All right, I'm not worried. And I'm proud of you for being a concerned father.
Well, I am.
All right.
I'm worried. I'm concerned.
All right.
I'm waiting for his next telephone call.
you get home tonight, just have a few cocktails. You'll be perfectly fine.
That'll settle me right down.
Get over it.
All right.
Goodbye, sweet pea.
Love you, honey.
Thank you for a wonderful weekend.
Oh, see, look at that.
There you go.
We did have a great time, though.
We did.
Just the two of us. And, you know, to answer anyone's questions about what it will be like when the boy finally does leave.
I know. We're having growing pains of both kinds.
You two sound very happy.
Oh, we had a very great Minai vacation.
That's
great.
That's wonderful.
More than great.
Goodbye, sweet pea.
Love you.
Love you, too.
Bye-bye. There she is, the bad mother. Now we got to do a break. I'm sorry, I went on a little bit there.
It was interesting, though, especially the part about him in Spain. And, you know, as I said, though, relax, you know, knock back a few marts.
Well, you know, I do trust him. I just, you know, I love him. I worry about him.
I think the you know, you trust him, and you also have the good structure over there in groups like that. I think they've had a lot of bad experiences, and they kind of monitor it.
I know.
More than they used to.
And like she said, you know, nothing he can do over there that he couldn't do over here, except, you know, over there, I'm not waiting at home with a baseball bat waiting for him to come home.
With camouflage on your face.
And a giant martini in my hand. Does it clear these lines out? My bitches, Toya, Lisa, clear these lines.
Damn.
And bring us a caller 100 right now for the secret sound at 877-365-3636.
All right.
Call 100. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, boys, how are you?
Hey,
we're both starving. When do we eat, huh?
You. You have worn out your welcome at Bushwood, sir.
Is that so? Who made you pope in this dump, huh?
Bushwood? A dump? Well, I'll guarantee you'll never be a member here.
Member? Are you kidding? You think I'd join this crummy snobatorium? But this whole place sucks. That's right, it sucks. Only reason I'm here is maybe I'll buy it.
Buy? Bushwood?
Just a couple of hard-working white guys.
Right.
Don Geronimo and Michael Miller.
All right, just had a call at 100. Well, Mike has some stuff to tell us about his getaway with his lady.
Down to New Orleans, Louisiana.
Ooh. I just got a couple of quick things. And call 100.
I'm going to give you unlimited forum.
Because I know you had plenty of good stuff in New Orleans to tell us about.
Yeah, we had a little experimental time, me and the missus.
Interpret that as you will. did you see Juice on TV today?
No, I did not.
It was Katie Couric interviewing OJ for 30 minutes.
Right.
OJ, who had... He had the Vish flop sweats today.
Oh, really?
Real bad.
Yeah, well, she's, you know, she's a la Barbara Walters right. When you get the eye of the tiger.
When I get the feeling on the Today Show, when they have an interview where they need to bust some balls, they just tell Matt Lauer to take his cute little face and go sit down. Because she sat with him, and she would not make direct eye contact with him. She just looked down at her notes. And she would kind of look at him, look back down at her notes. He kept calling her Miss Couric.
Yeah.
Well, Miss Couric, here's what I have to say about that. And he had that, you know, that throaty OJ way of speaking. Yeah. Again, with all this crap about, I'm innocent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm innocent.
Right.
And he's going to be going on a website.
Well, that's the whole reason he's doing the TV tour is to promote his website.
Well, he says that he's not going to make any money off the website.
No, all the proceeds going to charity.
Right. And she says to him, she says, well, I have a press release here from whoever it is, Big Brothers, whatever the charity is, that they don't want to be associated with it. And he says, well, Miss Couric, if they don't want the money, there will be some other organization that does.
Mm-hmm.
And good questions, like, would you take a polygraph? Yes. Would you do it on a pay-per-view? Yes.
Of course. Right, right.
And it was OJ, what made it great was, it was OJ trying so hard to keep himself under control.
Because he was getting angry.
Yes, that it was obvious that he had been coached on this interview.
Sure.
1 million times. Because being on the Today Show is not like calling in on the Fox News Channel when he went off on Nicole's sister.
Especially if there are no ground rules to start with, which probably there weren't.
Right, and he sat there, his body language was such that he just sat there with his hands folded in his lap and spoke in very measured, deliberate tones.
Right, because the last thing he can do is get angry because that'll just blow his whole thing.
Smack Katie Couric or something.
Right.
Pick her up and throw her out the window. You know, cut her head off, whatever it is that he would do.
That would not be good for his cause.
But it was fascinating. I got a tape. I want to bring the tape in to play you the tape because you can hear the build, the slow burn on OJ
right.
As it goes on, as he realizes that Katie Couric is not treating him like Harrison Ford,
right.
You know, who comes on the show and she just says, oh, you're so cute. You're so great. I mean, she thinks OJ killed his wife.
Right.
And although she couldn't say it because she's a quote-unquote journalist.
Yes.
You got to hear it. We'll listen to the tape a little later in the show to hear OJ's burn level as it continues.
And very, very, you know, very interesting that he's still going out there. You know, I mean, I would think that he would be far, far away. And
he says, you got to hear the tape, where he says, his kids are very popular in school.
Okay.
Nobody teases his kids.
Huh, shocker.
And then she said, do you talk with them about their mother? Oh, yes. And she says, really, what do you tell them? And he said that they talk about happy times they had together. And then Katie says, well, what about her murder? Have you discussed that? And he said, no. Don't discuss that. A psychiatrist told him, don't bring it up until the children bring it up.
Wow.
Right.
Oh,
healthy. Real healthy. Well, you got to hear the tape. It was,
how weird. It's surreal.
I'm riveted to it. You know, I can't turn away from it.
Amazing.
And you can hear it in his voice. You'll hear the tape in a couple of seconds. He's just getting more and more pissed.
Right.
It's obvious that he sat down in a room with people where they've gone through the situation with him before, like rehearsed it with him.
Don't get angry.
And giving him his answers.
Don't get angry.
So that's the OJ story.
Man, that's...
You need to call Jeff from Tech Radio about fantasy football.
Okay.
Because he emailed me that your email address, he keeps trying to email you and it keeps bouncing back to him.
Really?
So
I'm getting all my other emails, so maybe he's got the... I've got a complex little thing.
He has it right, because he emailed me...
Really?
With your address, and I looked at it, and I looked in my book, and he has the same one as you have. Anyway, you have to vote.
On whether we keep one or two?
Yeah, and if you want it to be a keeper league, if you want to keep one guy or two guy, and all
right.
You know, all it is fantasy football, but they're really mucking it up with incredibly tedious questions, where like some of the questions are A, B, C, or D, and there's a second part of the question where you also have to vote A, B, C, or D.
Oh,
so just, you know, I almost took the liberty of just voting for you.
Well, you know that I wanted to be a start-from-scratch league.
Because I know that's what you want, but there's other questions beyond that, so just... Because
it's very complicated.
Call
Steve, what is the... It's becoming... You know, I've been hearing the guys that come on after us, the sports junkies, talk about it, and I know that everybody's been... You know, discussing it in the hallways. This is the first year I can remember where it's been this complex prior to even the draft, and we're talking about, you know, July.
Right.
You know,
I'm for keeping one, incidentally.
I know. We disagree.
I'm for keeping one.
I just like to start from scratch because I think that, you know, my one is eh.
And, yeah. You know, and my one is Edger and James.
Yeah, right.
But I want to keep my one. But
you've got a franchise player, and that's, you know, I don't know. I won't mind that. It's just, but when you're talking about other questions in the fantasy football, we're making it more than it needs to be.
One of the questions was, do we need to expand the league? You know, how we've already got everybody working at the radio station in the league. I don't think we do.
No, I agree with you there. I don't want to expand the league.
You would have to vote on your own on that.
What's expanding the league? Like going outside? And
I don't know.
More?
Do you want to have to pay more money to join the league? You know, Christ, it bankrupt you and I last year simply being in this stupid.
Isn't it $150?
Yeah, well, you can vote on if you want to raise how much it costs to get into the league.
Wow. Why? Now, I'll ask the former commissioner, who is looking positively gleeful, but he's not involved in it anymore.
No, I'm not involved in any of these items to be voted on, but there are plenty of people in the building that would like to join still.
In the building?
Mm-hmm.
Well, wouldn't that delude the talent, though? I mean,
delude it, yes.
What did I say? Well, you know what I meant. F you, Charlie. F you and your new dwarf haircut. Jesus Christ. Nice cancer patient haircut.
Thank you. At least I don't have it. Oh, God.
Oh, man.
Wow.
All right, now, boys, this is the way you guys sound like you're in the office there. You know. Now, why are you here at the microphone?
Hold on, what's Rob doing here?
I was just thinking that if you did have a player holdover and you brought people in, it would have people that were already in the league, it would put them at a distinct advantage.
That's just something else to vote on.
Rob, you're not included in this.
Thank you.
Just step back from the microphone,
please. That does it. I'm not playing this fantasy football game this year.
Hey. So what, Broyhill?
I don't know.
Why'd you come out of here? Why'd you come in here?
Well, because I figured you'd have other questions for me.
Okay. There's a question about whether we keep a guy or not. And
correct.
There's a question about adding to the league.
There's a question with that about if you keep a guy, do you want to keep him for just this year? Do you want to keep him for this year and next year? Do you want to keep him for this year, next year, and the year after that?
And forever.
Or do you want to keep the guy forever?
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
And the other question is when we should hold the draft.
Which day? And there were three different dates for that. You know, so it's
a Saturday.
It is a Saturday.
Yeah, but it depends which Saturday you want the draft to be on.
Oh, all right.
It's the same stuff we went through last year.
Right. Can we do it by, if it's a bad day for somebody, can we do it by phone like some people have done in the past?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, because, I mean, that becomes more and more tedious every year.
Oh, it's fun to come in and do that.
You know I got a bad taste in my mouth from 2 years ago.
Oh, that's 2 years ago.
But, I mean, last year was just like, you know, it's a time, it's okay, but it's not as okay as it, you know. I've always wanted to be one of those guys that calls in, too. You know,
but yeah, those like are fun.
I know you didn't
like
those
guys.
You didn't like that as the commissioner.
Well, listen, get the form though. Get it from somebody.
Well, I mean, what's the deal? I was sitting there today on my computer, and emails were coming in as I was sitting there. Why is he having a problem getting through to me?
I'm not Jeff. You would have to talk to him.
All right, I would assume he does not have the proper. It's a very complex thing.
He does. What I'm telling you is, he emailed me and said, "This is Mike's email address. Is it correct?" I got out my book. He had it all correct.
Why would it be bouncing back on him then? And I'm getting other emails. That doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't know. I'm just...
Neither do I.
It happens sometimes. Some ISPs don't communicate well with each other.
Oh, okay. All right.
Thank you.
Now I know.
That's why.
Thank you, Buzz.
You
thank you. Because I was getting both the ministers of information. Because, I mean, you're looking at me like it's my problem.
No. You're looking at me like you want me to fix it.
I'm the one who told you
I know.
To call Jeff.
Because
the email's bouncing back.
I just don't... Just both of you, I'm sorry. I don't trust you. When it comes to fantasy football, I don't trust either one of you as far as I can trust. But I mean, I appreciate the heads up, and I'll call Jeff about this. What's rapidly becoming like the National Nerd League, you know, with our fantasy football league.
Just know this: I voted for two today. My boy is out of the country.
Yeah, okay.
All right. So I voted as I believe Bart would like me to vote.
Oh, does Bart know that you did that?
Of course not. Not a chance. He's in Spain.
Might have to get his phone number in Spain.
Right. Good. Well, if you get it, give it to me. Okay? So that's the fantasy football
league. And I don't want to expand the league.
No.
Nor do
it's
I. Certainly complicated enough as it is. It's cutthroat enough. I would like... Is there a question about voting Jimmy, Big Gum Jim, out of the league?
No, that's not up for... That's not up for vote.
All right. They didn't decide to include my question.
And did you see the Washington Post radio column today?
Yes.
You know... I read it today, and I just had a hunch. I always read it, even when it's boring and vacuous and meaningless, because I know that somehow that numbnuts is going to get us in there somehow.
Ahearns, he is such a queer.
God, he always makes these references, which indicate that he has no normal social function.
Hold on. First off, he's going to Bethany.
Okay.
Right. Hello, he's going to Bethany.
He's going to Bethany Beach, Delaware.
Hi there.
And he writes just about him and a bunch of his male friends driving down the road in a car.
10 o'clock at night, hopping into a convertible, all together, feeling the breeze. And do you get the impression reading that column that he's shirtless?
Listen, we're piled into a rented convertible and the top's down. It's 10 p.m. and it's clear, and the moon, full just two nights ago, has given back a silver to the dark sky. It's warm enough not to need a sweatshirt, even though we're whipping through the salty air at highway speed. Everyone is quiet, just bathing in it. Then on the radio, a synthesizer riff that arm jerks everyone back to 1978. It's foreplay, an instrumental by the late semi-lamented rockers, Boston. Turn it up, someone shouts over the rushing wind. We all get the Skinnerd reference. It feels apt. No one in the car can help himself. We just start singing.
Yeah, it's just like,
it's
boyfriend.
Been such a long time. I think I should be going. A buddy looks over and shouts, Boston is the band you never admitted you liked, but sang to when you were in the car by yourself.
Can I just tell you something?
Mm-hmm.
That's something a homo would say.
Yeah.
Right.
Right? Don't most guys like Boston?
I admit it, I love Boston.
Most guys who like Boston stand up today and say, Boston is maybe the greatest band since 1970?
Absolutely. I don't understand most guys didn't admit they liked Boston.
Yeah, right. Well, most guys who didn't like Dookie. You know, I mean, most guys who didn't like Dookie stand up and say Boston rules.
It's pretty interesting.
Let me see. Turns out there's another time you sing Boston in front of your friends 20 years later. And more comfortable in your skin.
Okay, I am 41 years old. I do not picture myself singing in a convertible shoulder to shoulder with a bunch of my friends.
At the beach, you go a little soft in the head for 1 week a year. Sue me. Or better yet, lather me up with number 15 and let's hit the beach. Later, we'll go play whack-a-mole at the Boardwalk Arcade.
I've seen a picture of that guy. If he's lathering up with number 15, he's going to come back looking like a crawfish. He needs 45 or nothing.
Let me see. Returning to the shore, 1, 2, 4 decades later, you're older, richer, fatter, and laden with adult responsibilities. The good news is you're not living a perpetually damp $40 hotel room with 5 other guys. And your meals sometimes consist of more than Pabst and Cap'n Crunch. But the beach remains a potent, sensual place. And sound and smell are powerful memory keys. You know, I would just like to point out that this guy you know, he's writing. He's not writing for the Blade. He's
right.
writing for the Washington Post.
Yeah, amen. And I mean, just out with it, son. You know what I mean? Out with it. Come out wherever you are. I mean, really, enough of this mamby-pamby dancing around the subject.
Let me see. Tune up the dial. Might as well jump. All right, Van Halen. It's 1984 and you're in college and you've got friends who worship Eddie Van Halen as the greatest rock guitarist ever and can't believe it, man. He put a freaking synthesizer on this album. Whoa. Hey, you. Who said that? Baby, how you been? Jesus. Here at the beach, we get both kinds of music on the radio. Rock and classic rock. You want rap? Good luck finding it on the dial. A little Yes, a little Hatchet, some R.E.M., some Wang Chung. You're both surprised and mortified to find out you remember most of the words to Dance Hall Days. Let's flip over to A.M., sort through the static. Maybe find a ball game from Philly. Whoa!
Yeah, that's the, you know, that's the whoa sound effect.
W-H-O-A, exclamation point. Whoa! It's Don and Mike. Switch it, dude. I'm on vacation.
God.
Jesus Christ.
He is the supreme nerd.
Back on the FM dial, the ragtop glides along the black beach highway, illuminated only by headlights and an orange moon. The five of us are headed towards a crab shack.
But his fingers are doing the walking on that trip.
Where you bring your own beer, stick it in a bucket of ice, and use wooden mallets to bash questions into oblivion. As an appetizer, we take turns flipping around the radio dial, consuming a steady diet of shared memories. Well, I'm taking my time. I'm moving along.
Oh, God.
Jesus.
Man.
What an abortion.
He is the worst. He is truly. And he can't help himself. He's got to get the dig in.
Yeah, that's totally
got to get the dig in.
The radio column is supposed to be about happenings in the radio business.
Right.
Now, I'd like instead, to get what we're getting like is the diary from a 13-year-old girl on our first trip to the beach.
Well, let's get technical on him. He's talking about 10 p.m., right, that they're getting in the car with the moonlit night. We're not on at 10 p.m. at the beach.
Hey, that's right.
Just thought I'd throw that in there.
Yeah, right.
Whoa, it's Don and Mike. Switch that. No. So that's completely forced, and it's a lie, Frank Ahearns. It's a lie. You with your boyfriends and your rag top cruising down the beach to your crab place with your mallet.
Out. Come out, wherever you are. Hey, it's Van Halen. Turn it up. Ugh. And listen, and not to be nitpicky, but I am a man. First, I'm a heterosexual man mm-hmm. who enjoys Boston. Mm-hmm. Always have, always will. I don't feel the need to hide that.
Right.
There were no synthesizer riffs on Foreplay that leads up to Long Time.
Mm-hmm.
It was an organ and it was guitars.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's all it was on. Do you remember the beginning to Long
Time? Yeah, absolutely.
Right. There's no synthesizers in there.
No, it isn't. Absolutely. It's good guitar. It's great guitar.
Right.
It's guitar that might is so good that it sounds like a synthesizer.
And like a Hammond organ in the background.
Right.
And giving you that.
Absolutely.
Woo! I mean, that's what Boston is.
It's that long time.
Christ.
And he has to get us in there. And it is phony and forced because at that hour, if he's recounting listening to the radios with his chums as he's cruising along in his convertible at night with a sliver of moonlight, he should mention that. He mentions we come on AM. No, that's not true.
Mm.
That's impossible, especially at the late hour when, you know, during the summertime when the sun goes down. So it is BS, Frank, just like you are BS.
A buddy looks over and shouts, Boston is the band you never admitted you liked, but sang to yourself when you were in the car by yourself. Please.
Okay. He's such a hipster.
Thank you. There you go. That's Frank Ahearn, radio column, today's edition of the Washington Post.
I tell you, if he put on SPF 15, he probably had to log some time in the emergency room.
I've got blisters. You know, listen, not that it matters, but the spring ratings book was released last week.
Right.
The most important ratings book of the year was released last week.
Yeah.
He still has not written word one about it in the Washington Post.
Huh. He's too busy jamming, in the convertible.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he was in the middle, on the hump, in the back seat.
Don and Mike.
Hello, shirtless. That was a great shirtless.
Oh, absolutely. He talks about you don't need a sweatshirt. Yeah, he can take his sweatshirt off.
Yeah, Don and Mike.
You know what's great about Boston is that, you know, they're the band that everybody likes, but nobody really admits to. Like, come on, hold on. What kind of non-homo is scared to admit that he likes Boston? Mm-hmm. Right?
100 caller.
Probably brings his own mallet to the grab place, too.
Yeah, listen, you are the 100th caller. Sorry,
all right.
Sorry about it. Thank you for waiting. Who is this?
Mark from Antica.
Mark, you have won the Sex in the City prize pack.
Yeah.
Don't miss the hottest and sexiest show on TV. I'm sure Frank Ahearns has no interest in it since it's mainly about women getting laid. Sex in the City, new episode Sunday night at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, only on the HBO. Are you ready to go for the big bucks?
I'm ready for it.
Okay, $500 online, secret sound number 6. We'll play it for you, give you 15 seconds to think about it. We, of course, wish you Godspeed. Godspeed.
Caller, name this sound.
There it is, and that is not the sound of the wind blowing through your hair. You take off your sweatshirt, turn to a buddy and say, hey, that Boston, boy, I don't like admitting, but I like that.
And the odds are in my favor.
Oh, yeah. Let's flip over to AM, sort through the static, maybe find a ball game from Philly. Whoa, it's Don and Mike. Switch it, dude. I'm on vacation.
A-hole. Jesus Christ. Frank A-hole.
Where's my anal mallet? I'm ready for some crabs.
What? Watch how I break the shells.
All right, listen, you. Sorry about that. What's the sound? We'll give you $500 if you know the sound.
A DVD player opening or closing?
No.
Oh.
Sorry. No. Damned close.
Ooh.
Damned close.
Damn, I'll be damned.
Hey. Damned. Very close. Don't forget that every guest is
a clue for you.
Thank you, my friend.
Thanks.
Thank you. Enjoy that.
As you drive down the highway.
With the wind in your hair and the sliver of moon. Take off our sweatshirts. It's warm enough to take our sweatshirts.
My nipples are erect.
Hey, you. Who said that? Baby, how you been?
Whoa, it's Don and Mike. Switch it, dude. I'm on vacation.
Let me give each other big high fives.
Even though Don and Mike are not on at 10 p.m. Woman.
What a wuss he is. A quick break. Yeah, we got to do a break. And then we'll hear about Mike in New Orleans.
Yes. The city that Care forgot.
With his wife when we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's another Don and Mike Las Vegas-style show. Don't miss out on the legendary fun and the top-notch adult entertainment. And now, here's Timmy O'Bibrene to tell you more.
Tomorrow, the Don and Mike Las Vegas-style show comes to Element right in my hometown, Washington, D.C. Element is right by the MCI Center at 714 6th Street Northwest. There's plenty of parking. So take the red line to Gallery Place. Doors open at 5, so starts at 8. And you gotta be 21 to get in. For more info, 301-840-8793 or check out clubelement.com.
The Don and Mike Las Vegas style show.
For the girls, the less clothes, the better.
Don't miss it.
Well, I've seen in their records, the only thing they do contribute is mayhem and chaos.
No, I'm chaos and he's mayhem. We're a double act.
If you don't like them, you can go eat one. The Don and Mike Show.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I was listening to you guys talk about that dink that wrote that article. You're right, he's obviously gay. Had he ever even remotely looked?
I don't believe we ever said that.
I don't think we've ever said that.
Well, okay,
Frank Ahearns is
not
gay.
That there's anything wrong
not
with
that. Not
that
there's anything wrong with that. If he was... Say
well, you're right. There's nothing wrong, but he is right. Because if he had ever even remotely picked up, looked at, or even contemplated reading the cover of a Boston album, he'd have seen in big, bold letters on maybe even the first album, all it says, no computers, no synthesizers.
Yeah,
huge,
of
bold
course.
Letters mm-hmm. Bottom of the album cover.
Well, yeah, it's because he never really saw it.
Right. I don't think we've ever come out and said he was gay, but we've come out and said he was a moron.
Yeah.
Well, he is a moron.
He has no genitals.
Besides, I think he might be asexual.
Back when Boston was out, he was probably into Menudo and stuff.
Absolutely.
You know, New Kids.
Sure, and avoiding getting beaten up.
Hello, Don and Mike.
He's still avoiding that.
Hello? Well, hi.
Hi. I just want to let you guys know that I have the pager number of Latrell Sprewell.
the pager number for Latrell Sprewell?
Yes, I do.
All right, hold on.
I was able to get it today.
All right, hold on a second, please.
Sure.
Hold on.
It's not like having the cell phone number, you know, because you page him, he looks at the number and he doesn't return the call.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello, brothers.
Hey.
It's Thomas Aloysius Gavin.
Hey, Tom.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Tom, you know what?
What?
I'm running short on time here because I want to hear Mike's story about New Orleans, and then we have a yodeler coming on. Why don't you call tomorrow? Because I have a love letter for you that somebody sent here to the station.
A love letter?
Yeah.
Who sent that?
I don't know. Some girl. Put her phone number in there. So call tomorrow. Listen tomorrow.
Hey, I'll be down. I got the tape from Hutch from the Survivors thing for you all.
But does anybody know what he's talking about?
No.
No.
The Survivors thing. The... thing is, you all did the Survivors thing.
Oh, the Tom Gavin Survivor?
Yeah.
Oh, the tape of you doing
that.
Oh,
stuff.
Very good.
Oh, all right. Yeah, fine. Listen, call tomorrow, Tom.
Well, then,
fine. I'll be down at the Las Vegas style show tomorrow night.
I know, but listen, call tomorrow, because there is a love letter up at the office that I would like to read to you.
Okay.
Okay. Bye, Tom.
No need. No need for farewell.
Well, then, fine. And he's gone. He's like the wind. So, well, I was off,
yep.
You know, at this nice climate with my honey.
I've wanted to take my wife to New Orleans for a long time. You know, we've gone down there on business trips for a lot of times, a lot of shows, conventions, Super Bowls, and I've been there a bunch of times. It's always been a city I wanted to take my wife to, and this was an opportunity to take her down to New Orleans. And, you know, we actually went away without the kids for 2 days, actually 2.5 days, 3 days, and it was very exciting to be down there. And, you know, one of the things about when you've never been to New Orleans, it's fun because I'm the tour guide and I'm showing her all the great places to eat and all the different places. But Bourbon Street, as both you gentlemen know, is in the evening, turns into, and during the day to a lesser extent, turns into kind of like Sin City. I mean,
yeah.
You've got t-shirt shops, you got some restaurants, you've got a lot of different places to go, but you've also got the Thim that's part of New Orleans. And so we went down
there. That's the best part of New Orleans.
We went down to Emeril's restaurant down there on a, I think it was Saturday night, and we're bopping around, and it was wonderful, and we had a great, great meal down there. The food's the greatest in the world. But as we hit Bourbon Street, we're looking around, and my wife says to me, "Al, there's probably the place you go to when you're down here." And she points to one of the, you know, more than 50 gentlemen's clubs that are on the street.
Well, we've been to a few.
And we've been to a few. I said, you know, but we and I told her the truth that down there, the places down there are kind of yucky. And
yeah.
You know, as a matter of fact,
they're
not
high quality.
I don't think I've ever been in one with you. On Bourbon Street, I think I was with Daryl, and we went in and we went out, and it was just kind of yucky. And she says, "Well, you know, you never take me to those places." I said, "You've never expressed it." She said, "Yeah, one time I said I wanted to go." I said, "Well, then, if you ever said you wanted to, you know, satisfy your curiosity and see what that was like, I'd go in there with you." So what happened was,
that is the worst environment to show. Although, let me ask,
but it's almost
you,
the best.
Would you rather? Yeah, because would you rather your wife see the skankiest, worst, or would you rather have your wife see, like, that place we went into in Minneapolis?
Exactly.
when we saw Sinbad
exactly.
in there?
Exactly, exactly.
That place that both you and I decided we'd like to live in?
Absolutely.
We went into a strip club in Minneapolis that was so freaking nice.
Where we saw Sinbad. And so I said, you know, if you want to do that, you no problem at all.
You know what?
Just let me have a couple
that
of drinks.
That is the smart play, because that's like showing her
right.
the worst of what the strip world has to offer.
Well, this was just the tip of the iceberg, because we walk by, and there's some female impersonator show, and they're all spilling out onto the streets, these preoperative transsexuals, and these, you know, these men dressed as women. And she says, "I want to go to that show." I said, "Honey." So at this point, we duck into another bar on the corner, and I decide I'm going to have a little fortification where we're going to go see everything, including a show that I hope you remember the pictures of this lady down there, because she's been there for about a million years. But we go in, I get a little courage, because the female impersonator, there are 2 6-foot-5 female impersonators on the street, and we're walking by, she says, "We'll go to see that." I said, "I'll need a little fortification before I go in there, but I will go in there, we will go to a gentleman's club, we'll go to whatever." We end up going to 5 places that were just pretty about as Sin City decadent as you can go. The first place we go into is a gentleman's club, and it's a classic gentleman's
club.
It's
right?
a strip joint, and we walk in there, and I'm like, well,
here we are, and I've got a big grin on my face. And as soon as we get in there and we sit down, the whole thing down there is you walk in and they have a drink minimum. That's how they make their money. You have to go in and you have to order an expensive drink to sit down. So we spent so little time in each of these places that I ended up spending a fortune buying my wife these hurricanes that they have, the drinks down there.
Oh, those drinks, right.
Which she wouldn't drink because we'd end up leaving. But we go into the gentleman's club. We walk in there and I say, well, here we are. And it's like the places, some of those places on Bourbon Street that are dirty and dingy.
Yes,
and
funny you call it a gentleman's club.
That's what it said. You know what?
I know, but those places are those are strip joints.
It said it on the, it was, I think it was called the gentleman's club. I think that's where it was. It's a strip joint. We go walking in. And we sit down, and there may be two other people in this place. It's relatively early.
What time was it?
Probably like 8:30 or something like that. In fact, it was so early, I said, well, it's probably not going to be jumping. Well, New Orleans, Bourbon Street starts jumping 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right.
We walk into this place, and there are these crusty, grizzly old guys sitting up at the bar, and the lady says to us, the waitress says, would you like bar side, show bar, or table? And I'm like, table, please. And so we sit
down.
She sits us down at the table, and it's right next to the stage where this lady immediately is taking her top off. And she's sitting there taking her top off.
What'd she look like?
She looked like she was a little long in the tooth, frankly. Looked like she was almost wall territory.
Almost.
We've been on Bourbon Street. You know the strippers, a lot of them on Bourbon Street, it's wall time.
Right.
It's time to maybe think about another line of work. maybe get to the convenience store, and take up that kind of employment.
Or maybe go back to Hoenn.
Oh, yeah, that might be the thing to do. So she sits there, and we're in there. Let me see. We were there a good long time. We were there about 2 minutes. Because I look over at my wife, and she's getting mad. She's getting mad because she's like knowing that I've been in these places before. And she's very cool about it.
She asked for it, though.
She wanted to go in there, and it's like she's not into. I'm like, and I'm sitting there, and I say, so, what do you think? It's like, interesting. And it becomes apparent that we're going to be in there for 2 minutes. I said, do you want to finish your drink? No. And I think I might have actually been the catalyst also to get going, because I'm not comfortable with this situation either. But it's not just a strip joint. It's a seamy, dirty, sleazy, unwashed
and
little joint.
Listen, it would be fine if it was all of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're going on there with your wife. But on the other hand, let her think.
Right.
That's what they're all like. Don't let her think that there's anything like that palace in Minneapolis that we went to.
So we go in there, and she has said to me, in a way, I'm almost feeling more free because she's into seeing all the sights of New Orleans, and it's a curiosity thing. And she goes into one place. We go into this place. I forgot. I think it was called the Dark Entry. And we go in, and there's this tattooed woman sitting there, and it's like one of these S&M stores. And we go upstairs, and it's got all these black lights and the fluorescent writing on the walls as you're going up this tunnel into this place. It's a place I would never go under any circumstances.
You're going in there with your wife.
And we're going in there, and I'm like, okay, let's go in. Because she's a teetotaler, and she'd had a couple of sips of these hurricanes, and, it's go time, right? So we go walking into, and this place has fluorescent writing on the wall. We walk up, and this is like selling all this stuff with bondage and leather, and it's got the dildo case as you walk in, as you walk into this place. And I'm like, I just want to leave. And this guy comes up with, like, green hair, weighs about 15 pounds. May I help you? And I'm like, yeah, get me out of here.
What was Laura's reaction?
Well, what it is, it's mostly a clothing store. So, I mean, S&M or whatever, it's got these walls of these pants and stuff that they have that are normal pants. So she's looking at it like we're at a department store. And I'm like, please, can we go? And then I go in the back corner. They have the shoes that are elevated, the elevator shoes. Well, my wife's 4'10 and a half. It doesn't matter how seamy this place is. She sees the shoes and is like, oh, shoes. And when she sees the shoes, I'm going, please, can we leave the dark entry? Please, the dark entry. Something like that. The dark entry is scaring me. We go down. That's not the end of it.
Hold on. I got a guy who says he was at the strip club.
Okay.
Same one.
Very good. At.
I don't know if he's lying or not. Hello?
Don and Mike.
Yep. Hold on. This is the wrong guy.
Oh, Don and Mike, it's me. Don Mike!
No, hold on. It's this guy. Hello?
Yeah.
Who's this?
My name's Greg.
Yep,
Minneapolis.
Hold on. It might have been the other guy.
Well, I mean, that guy was saying Minneapolis, so he was probably at the joint that we were at in Minneapolis.
I got the wrong one. I had some guy who said he was at the same club you were at this weekend.
You mean while we were there?
Yeah.
Really?
Hmm. Well, he should call back.
If that was a guy, that meant he was like 70 years old and had like a 6-day growth of beard.
Hello?
Hello?
Don and Mike?
I haven't been to any strip club. Well, not with Mike anyway.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was calling at the risk of implying Frank Ahearns is indeed a homo.
Okay, hold on, please. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Don.
Yes?
This is Black Peter calling you from Spain, and I've kidnapped your boy.
Oh, God. I'm never going to find the guy again who says he was in the club where you were at. Hello?
Don and Mike.
Are you the guy who was in the club where Mike was?
Yes, this is Dave. Yeah, I was in New Orleans this weekend. Listen, I was contemplating calling you guys because I didn't know if I should tell you about my New Orleans trip, but then Mike brought up the fact he was there. I didn't see Mike, but listen, my friend, Mike, it's the dark room, not the dark entry.
Dark room, okay, very good.
I was
room.
Just there, and check this out.
Do you know the type, is this the place where you go up the stairs, and it really, what it resembles is a haunted house?
Yeah, like almost, you're right, it's like an S&M club.
It's
almost.
An S&M store, and it resembles like going into what you would see at Halloween, where they've got all that fluorescent writing on the wall.
Yes.
Freaked me out. I wanted to get out of there as soon as I got in there.
Well, check this out. There's another strip club called Temptations, which is like almost directly across Bourbon Street from it.
Mm-hmm.
We were there for about 10 minutes, and then the stripper came on stage. Now, I'm just giving you a quick description of her. She's about 6'3", 180, and she looks like Marilyn Monroe. The weird thing is...
Pretty.
Is that my
Sounds
friend?
Like she might work here.
My friend bought a VIP dance for $250.
$250?
Yeah,
for $250, she better give you...
For $500. This guy is like, he doesn't get any, you know, ladies any other way.
For $250, a better VIP better mean very important penis.
This guy probably has like a thin dick. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I can say that, but he's nothing. But here's the kicker. Mike, did you notice the place by any chance called the Good Bar or the Happy Bar? Because for about 3 straight blocks on every single corner... Like one up from Bourbon Street, one down, and on Bourbon Street. I think Homo Joe would like the area.
Well, no, I mean that's no secret. I mean there's a tremendous gay community, and speaking to that, we left the dark room, and we went across the street, and this is where on Bourbon Street the female impersonators were standing out there in their bikinis. They're standing out there, and that was the one where I said before we go in there, please, this is, you know, let Daddy go in and just have one more belt.
Hold on, I'm gonna do a break.
Okay, very good,
because I know you have more.
And the oh my God. The Diana Ross show at the female impersonator show. I'll tell you all about that.
Okay, good. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey there.
And then I want to know what your wife thought of all of this.
You know, I'll tell you.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. This is Greg.
Yes, Greg.
Yeah, in Minneapolis, a place called Sheik's. Is that where you went?
Nope, we're in a place called Solid Gold. Yep, Solid Gold.
Oh, well.
Solid Gold.
Yep.
9 years later, and I still remember the name of that place.
Solid Gold.
Solid Gold.
That's sick.
Pretty incredible place.
Anyway.
Best one ever.
Yep.
Never take, if your wife ever wants to do a strip club, never take your wife to Solid Gold.
Now go to New Orleans and find an awful one.
Okay, time out. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Glad you enjoyed them, sir, but no, I'm afraid they are not real radio personalities.
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll-free, at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Okay, hi, this is Dorm Radio, D-O-R-M, broadcasting live from the basement of the Science Building.
Sit down, Danny, and listen to the Don and Mike Show.
Sit down, Danny. So, you're in New Orleans.
Yeah, we're in New Orleans. We've left the dark room, and thanks to that listener for calling and giving me the right number. The dark room.
The glory hole.
It was just really, really creepy, and I, you know, if anything, my wife was cooler about it, and I was the one who was kind of like saying, let's go, especially with the dark room. But more than anything, when we go in, we finally... I get enough courage to say, okay, we'll go in and we'll see the female impersonator.
You mean you've had enough to drink?
Now, this isn't like the Birdcage, okay? This isn't like where you go in to one of those drag shows where they come out and they really sing. This, to me...
Like La Cage aux Folles?
It's not like that. It's like more preoperative transsexuals, just different types of men becoming women or, like, dressing. It wasn't like men dressing as women as much as... You know, these women had real boobs. These men, women.
You see Frank Ahearns there?
I did see his convertible go by, and there was just a sliver of moonlight. So we go in, and I finally... The thing that's tough is, you know, in New Orleans, a lot of the entryways to these places are very small, and outside... of the place are two. These were just lumberjack transsexuals who were standing out there and saying,
Jesus.
"Oh, hello, you got, I love you." And the one says, "I love your hair, darling. I love your hair." You know,
saying that to you or to your wife?
Saying that to my wife. Didn't have anything to do with me. And we go walking in, and you know, once again, it's just like all the other places. Bourbon Street has a lot of very dark, dank, kind of dirty, and this was the dirtiest place. And we walk in, and the stage looks like it's a stage in a strip joint where it's got the mirror behind that.
Right.
But you know, one of the traditions when you go into these joints is the dancers will take their little Windex and spray the mirror and do the transition. Well, this mirror looked like maybe it was sprayed back in 1968 because there it was filthy. And we go in and we sit down and on stage is this like, "Hello, honey. Okay, bitches. Yes, siree. We're going to have a great time, honey. Fantastic." this like divine walking up on stage backwards and forwards, and we sit down I didn't even want to sit down on this seat because it's just the place didn't look like it had had a good bath in a long time. And the waitress woman comes over, and this is like Joe Hardinger without teeth, you know, and a wig, you know, coming over and sitting down. It's just, "Yes, can I
help you?"
Now he's dressed as a woman.
He's dressed as a woman. He's wearing the dress. They all have these gowns on. You know, that's the one area where they've spared no expense, is these fantastic outfits that they have. But what it is the waitress leans over and says, "Yes, honey, can I help you with these?" I said, "Do you have any Irish whiskey?" I'd like a lot of Irish whiskey.
"You're not going to find that stuff in
no,
there."
"No, we don't. We have beer and wine." And I'm saying, "Okay, all right, just, yes, make wine for both of us, please." So she said, "I'll be right back." You know, that'll be like $1 million, please. And she's talking like this because there are like two teeth on the bottom and two teeth on top. But she's wearing a dress and I'm getting grossed out. Meanwhile, up on stage, this, I think, Liz Taylor wannabe is this big fat guy that's wearing like a circus outfit. The hair pulled back. And this is the MC saying, "We got a great show tonight, honey. I please make welcome." And all of a sudden, I see
Rob.
It's Rob. That's exactly who it is. It's Rob. Rob's got his, of course, jet black hair wig.
Rob.
Back. No, it was real black hair because she had it like pulled back tight. How did I remember such details? And so she got it pulled back tight, and I'm sitting there going, "Oh, my God." Our next performer, and then as he says our next performer, as he, she says our next performer, I noticed this 6'9" woman man coming in dressed completely as Diana Ross with the big flowing cape of a gown standing over. And what this isn't a drag show. This is putting on the hits. And they put on, you know,
they're lip syncing?
And they put "I'm Coming Out" on the, you know, and they're lip syncing to it. And it's like, "I'm coming." And then in between. We stayed there because, you know, you just wanted to see it. We stayed there probably 10 minutes. And then I ran out. "Can we go now, please?"
Meanwhile, what is your wife's reaction to this?
She was, you know, she didn't seem as creeped out about it as I was. I mean, at this point, you know, she's just kind of like taking it all in, saying it for the first time. She's never been to New Orleans. You know, I know that inside of these places, it's like, you know, gross. I want to get out. And then we made our way out of there and then went to one last place because I said, "Let's do it. Let's go to all of them. Let's go into all these places that..." And I don't know whether she believed me or not, but I said, these are places I wouldn't go, like, out with the guys. I would not go into the... I would go... I went to one gentleman's club when I was in here, and that's the one I remember, and it was kind of seedy. And because of that, we didn't go into other ones. You know, you and I have kind of high standards in that regard. You know,
right.
We don't like...
Solid goals.
We don't like Danny's in Memphis, and we, you know, we didn't like the places in... New Orleans, right?
Danny's in Memphis is maybe the worst
we've ever been to. So there's one... There's one last place after the female impersonators. I didn't think it could get much worse, right? But there's this, and this was where we spent the least amount of time. And out on the side, it says, "World Famous Love Acts."
Oh, you just wanted to do a sex show.
You go in and we walk in. You want to talk. You know, as bad as the female impersonator's place was, it made this place look bare bones. We walk in there and it's like, "Love Acts. Men... men on men, women on women, men on women." And I'm like, "Okay, let's go in just to see, just to satisfy our curiosity."
Oh, Christ.
We walk into this place, and this place, there are maybe 8 chairs, There are no tables. This is just sitting out there, and there's this...
Was it Pee-wee Herman time?
It was horrible. This is the only
place...
Did
these guys go in there and J.O.?
You know what, Don? We didn't have enough time to find out, because this is the one place where we did not order a drink, because we walk in, and on stage is this guy that looks like Coolio, and he's like rubbing up against this pole, and I said, this is not the best love act I've ever seen.
Was he naked?
We said that. No, he had jeans on without his shirt, and he's like rubbing up against this pole. This is not love acts. This is like people off the street who we could find to come and hump the pole acts. And we go in, we sit down. I said, Laura, because Laura doesn't know any of this stuff. You know what I mean? She's like, what is this? I'm like, let's just go. Let us, please, for the love of God, let us go. We walk in, and meanwhile, Coolio is still making love to the pole, and we got out of there without even getting a drink. World famous love act.
So you didn't even see men and women having sex?
I didn't want to stick around. It was just, that was the one place where the element in there was, it just scared the crap out of me. I didn't want to have anything to do with that. And that was officially our tour of Bourbon Street. And after that, I think we went in a gift shop and got something nice for the kids. I think that was it. It was real seedy and seamy. And then we went to, I didn't realize that New Orleans now, open since October, has a brand new casino that's not a riverboat, a big building that has a casino, which I hate. Now, I didn't know it was there. I wasn't going down there.
Right.
Our hotel happened to be across the street from the place. Don, I swear to God.
Coincidence.
And we gambled. I did everything with my wife. It was actually quite pleasant. We did, we kind of did everything together. There were the moments where she would go off and, do a little shopping, and I would stay at the casino, or she would go back to the hotel, and I would stay at the casino, or she would, go to the hotel gift shop, and I would stay at the casino.
But, how much did you end up losing?
I actually broke even. I broke even, which is just like, when I break even, I mean, I lose so much in casinos, though. When I break even, you hear this, it was wonderful. It was absolutely a terrific trip. But if you're ever down on Bourbon Street in New Orleans and you see the world famous love acts, don't go in there, because it was not a love act. It was one guy up on stage. That is not the best.
Coolio.
Love,
no.
That was not the best love act I've ever seen.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Homo Joe here, Don and Mike.
Speaking of,
there you are.
Hello, Homo Joe.
Hey, Mike. I was at New Orleans at the same places, and boy, some of those drag queens with the arm muscles were scary.
Yeah, I mean, they're big drag queens down there. I mean, they are huge, powerful, strapping drag queens.
Did you take Bard down to the male strippers down the end of the street?
No, didn't take her to the male strippers. God. Maybe we didn't make it to that end of Bourbon Street, Joe, but we didn't get down to that side. Now, you know what I was asking, though? In New Orleans, and I just said this, I don't know whether it's true, but I would assume that they would have had somewhere, not necessarily on Bourbon Street, but a drag show that was a little bit more upscale, like a real...
Like a Las Vegas style
show.
Like a birdcage.
They're off of Bourbon Street. They're down off the side street.
He knows all about
them. Should have called you before I went, Joe.
You see?
Big Joe.
What I should do is take Laura and Freed out for a night on town show, a drag show, and the male strippers, and show them what a real good time is.
I don't know about that, Big Joe.
I don't know. It sounds like a bet to me.
All right, listen, Big Joe. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Okay, take it easy, guys.
All right, bye-bye. Bye-bye. There he is, everybody. Big Joe.
Big Joe. Shocker that his 8 inches have been down there.
Big Joe DiCaprio. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, first of all, huge fan. I just wanted to correct an earlier caller. He was close, but I wanted to make sure that Mike got the credit that he deserved. The place is, in fact, called The Dark Entry.
Okay,
on
the dark
Bourbon Street.
All right, good. Good, I had it right.
So you are correct.
And a scary, very scary doorway and a scary hallway.
Black painted, neon paint.
When you get up to the top
floor.
Come
in with beer, but God knows what else.
When you come up to the top floor, when you get to the top floor, it's actually a relief, because you think you're going into some place where, people are going to, like, put a, rubber ball in your mouth. And then you get up to the top floor, and it's a store. It's a store with S&M stuff.
Hello, this is Don and Mike's show.
No problem.
Right, like you weren't peeing in your pants as soon as you walked in there. As soon as you saw your first two-handed dildo.
I was just sitting there like eyes wide, And then Laura saw shoes, so we had to stay.
Hello. Hello. All right, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Hey, how are you, Don and Mike?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
Good. Hey, my name's Jason. I'm a racehorse trainer down in South Carolina. And I saw Hugh Hefner had a runner in the Derby, and I got to thinking... I thought it'd be good to name a horse after Don and Mike. But the thing is, we can't call one horse Don and Mike. So we was trying to come up with a name, and I wondered what your thoughts were.
Well, I can't speak for Mike. I would be flattered if a horse was named Jizz.
Jizz?
J-I-double-Z.
I don't know if we get that one approved, though.
Sure, Jizz the racehorse.
You know, or we could have In the Nude.
Jizzy. How about if you can't get Jizzy approved, how about Big Joe?
Big Joe? Yeah?
Yeah, Big Joe would be acceptable.
Big Joe.
And yeah, that would be have to have a colt, right?
Yeah, a colt.
Instead
absolutely.
Of a filly.
Okay, absolutely.
All right. Done.
Thank you.
All right, Doc. Bye.
Bye-bye. Here comes Jizz, followed by Big Joe.
How about Joe's Flying Jizz? Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don, Mike, how you doing?
Hi.
I just wanted to tell you, Pito quiere comprar la pornografía, pero él no quiere que la persona lo ven comprando la pornografía.
Something about pornography.
Are you doing the Ron and Fez thing?
Tito wants to buy the porn, but he doesn't want people seeing him, bud.
Thank you, my friend.
Hey.
It's been a whole show. We haven't done that yet.
Hey.
Although we got into it a little bit when we read that Frank Ahern's article.
Absolutely.
Hey. We will be back. Now, listen. We promoted this last week. Guys, I want you to keep it in your pants, okay?
Okay. Oh, baby.
Because Mary Schneider's coming on the show next. Mary Schneider, Australia's queen of yodeling.
She is the yodel mistress.
When we come right back.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
And she was saying that she was 2 weeks pregnant. And I didn't believe it because when you're just two weeks pregnant, you can't really tell just because you haven't seen your menstruation.
You love to make them hit you, Don and Mike.
All right, big Las Vegas style show tomorrow night. We're going to be at Club Element in D.C., which is right across the street from the MCI Center. I believe Mike has a message for us. A New Orleans message, maybe. Wow. Wow. Thank you. Wow. Jesus.
Thank you very much.
I might have to hear that one again.
Yeah, I'd like a replay on that. This might mark my first replay.
Can you give a dry without the music, Rob?
Yeah, I think so.
Give okay. Because we run the music in a different channel.
Take two.
Egars, everybody. Egars.com. Best cigar site on the web.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
They sponsor our farts. Right. Reel two?
Reel two.
All right, here we go. This is without the music.
Okay, you. Very good.
New Orleans message, maybe. Let me hear it again. Back it up again. Wow.
Yeah, baby.
I believe Mike has a message for us. A New Orleans message, maybe.
Thank you.
That had a life of its own, Mike.
It did indeed. I'm very proud. Can we hear it one more time, please?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, let me turn the music off.
That was the extended dance mix, by the way.
Okay. You got it, Robbie?
Yeah. Hold
on. Here we go. It was a good one.
Thank you.
Now, the Las Vegas style show tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Big free show. At Club Element, right across from MCI Center in D.C. We'll have special stuff. So thank you, the good people of D.C., for making the show number one Arbitron rated again.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. Big thank you party tomorrow night. Free Las Vegas style show, including the Nude Feud.
All right.
The return of major effing star Dennis Murphy, Big Joe DiCaprio, Cheryl the Big Dyke, the Underwear Fashion Show, and a special birthday tribute to the bathtub boy, Charlie Stossel.
The bathtub boy.
All of that tomorrow night at Club Element. And that's in D.C., which is a District of Columbia.
All right, good.
Which is right across the street from MCI Center. It doesn't cost anything to get in.
Mm-hmm.
It's our way of saying thank you for listening to the show. So we will see you there tomorrow night. Buzzy, are you going to be able to make it?
I am going to be there tomorrow night. I decided that was going to be the perfect way to celebrate my 25th wedding anniversary.
Oh, are you going to bring Marcia?
We haven't talked about it, no.
All right.
Did you give her that thing?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay, good. I'm glad I didn't say what that thing is.
Yeah. That herpes cure.
You take two pills.
Zoparax.
Take two pills a day instead of eight pills a day.
The ointment. I lost the applicator.
The applicator.
Well, Buzz got her something very special
for their anniversary.
Yeah, he told me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic.
Thanks for that.
And that's great. That's got a special rinse cycle, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
That's good. Thanks for picking that up on Bourbon Street for me.
So you're coming on Thursday. Good for you, Buzz.
Coming on Wednesday. Actually.
That's what I mean.
Thursday we're going to be in New York, right? Are we? Are
no,
we
we're not in New York because...
See, nobody tells me anything.
We're not in New York.
Minister of Information isn't very informative today.
We're not in New York because we're doing a show on Wednesday night.
I was wondering whether that was the case.
Who wants to do a show until 1 o'clock in the morning and get up and catch a plane
the
next
day? What I was fair. Are we going to be in New York on Friday?
You know what?
What?
I don't know.
Mr. Spicoli?
I'm sorry to bring this up on the air. I wasn't sure what the
Mr. Spicoli? I don't know. Let me write that on the board for everybody. I don't know.
Oh, really?
Wow. I really don't know.
All right.
I don't know.
I just voted.
We'll let you know.
Okay.
Oh, do you mean by shaking your head or do you mean with that fart you just voted?
No, that vigorous nod, man. I want to be in New York.
Listen, on the phone now... On the phone now is Mary Schneider.
Schneider?
She is Australia's queen of yodeling.
And a handsome woman.
And you might remember that it was just last week that I was previewing for you some of her great work from her brand new CD called Yodeling the Classics. And we said, we got to get this lady on our show.
Listen to this voice.
I think I had said last week this would be her American debut, but of course, I was lying.
Yes, you were misinformed.
Yeah, she's apparently been a big star in America for a long time.
Really? Has she ever done the Merv Griffin show?
I don't know. You know what? I saw Merv today on the Ainsley Harriott show.
He discovered Ainsley.
He has grown into being such a gigantic fat queen.
Have you seen it?
He really has.
Did you see when he was, like, wandering the set? Just, like, he'd show up for no apparent reason?
Well, he brought Ainsley over to America.
And we can never repay him for that.
Absolutely.
But it was a fantastic program.
I was just flipping around trying to find out if the Backstreet Boys were on that plane before we figured out it was a bunch of German tourists.
Yes, very good.
And
very good.
One of the channels I went by was Ainsley Harriott, and they're sitting there with Merv.
Mervin!
All right, let's bring Mary Schneider on right now. And I think she's here joining us from Australia, where it is tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yes. And so we're actually using the time machine to speak with Mary.
Time machine. Mary.
Hi, how are you?
Mary, hello. Let me say good morning.
Good morning. Yes, it's 7:30.
Right. Thank you for getting up very early on Wednesday morning.
That's all right.
To talk to us on our radio show here on Tuesday evening.
Must be difficult to yodel at 7:30 in the morning.
Well, especially I've got a really bad cold.
But no,
I can do the right thing, probably, maybe.
Well, you know, we won't...
Thank you very much for playing the record. I really appreciate it.
We love your record. Now, we'd love to take credit for breaking you in America. And as a matter of fact, last week when I played your record, I said that we were going to be debuting you in America,
mm-hmm.
when actually you've already been in America, right?
Yeah, I was there, I think it was a year ago or something. Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, and where?
Over there.
Where did you go when you were in America?
I was in New York, L.A., and Nashville.
Did you do any TV shows while you were here?
Yeah, I did a couple, yes. Regis and Kathy Lee. And,
shocker.
I did Crook and Chase and CNN and what else? Oh, boy.
All the A shows. You know, those you just mentioned two of the most popular television shows in America. Crook and Chase and Regis and Kathy Lee.
Those are very popular.
What, were they not able to book you on the Martin Short show?
No, I did Howard Stern.
Oh, very nice. Did you yodel for Regis?
Yes, I did. And I asked him to yodel, but he didn't want to do that.
Really?
Really? Did you? Did Regis come on to you in any way?
No. He was very sweet.
Really?
Yeah, I love it over there. It's really, really beautiful. Everyone is real sweet to me.
Well, honey,
I'll be there about 3 weeks.
Honey, your new record. Oh, you'll be here in 3 weeks?
No, I was only there for 3 weeks.
Oh, you were here for 3 weeks. I got you.
Yeah.
On your new record.
I did quite a lot of TV there. I mean, I think I did about 8 TV things.
Well, I want to tell you something. I'm looking at your CD cover right now. The camera loves you.
Does it?
Yes.
Yeah, and may we ask, how young a woman are you?
Oh, I'm just as old as I feel.
Okay,
we're not talking about that.
May I guess?
Yeah, have a guess.
All right. Would you pass the picture over, Mike?
Here it is, Don.
I will guess. Let me guess the age of Mary Schneider.
Yeah.
Australia's queen of yodeling.
I want to guess, too. You're not going to be the only one to guess.
Oh, really?
All right, I'm going to guess. On the CD cover, do you look like this all the time, or is this you really pimped up?
Oh, pretty much like that.
Pretty much like that?
Yeah.
I'm going to guess 73. Mike?
I'm going to guess 29. You see, we're totally confused. Is it somewhere between those two?
Somewhere between that. That's right. Absolutely right. How good are you, Keith?
All right, but if we were playing The Price is Right, just so we know. Can you tell us how old you are?
I beg your pardon?
Can you tell us how old you are?
No.
So we could know who was closer? Who was closer? My guess of 73 or Mike's guess of 29?
Let's get on to something else.
Huh? Oh, she doesn't want to talk about her age.
All right.
No one wants to talk about
it. Well, can you yodel for us then?
Yeah, I can. Can you yodel, you guys?
No, absolutely not.
I can. I am actually an accomplished yodeler.
You can?
Yes, I've been yodeling for years.
Have you?
Mm-hmm.
Sure, okay. Let me hear some of this yodeling.
Thank you.
I tell you what,
yeah.
That's pretty good.
I'll remember you.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Thank you.
All right, now I'll give it a try.
All right, very good. Here's Don. Don's going to yodel for you now. That was Don. Not bad, huh?
Yeah, pretty good. I mean, you just got to start off with a tar sound like... you know, one of those Tarzan sounds.
Yeah!
All right, let me try it now.
That's too good.
Yeah, we're both very accomplished yodelers.
Thank you.
Hey,
Mike, let's yodel at the same time. You ready?
Okay.
One, two, three.
Yeah!
Oh, my God.
Not bad, huh?
Pretty good. A little bit more practice, you'll get better.
What's the hardest yodel to do?
I suppose sort of Swiss things. Swiss yodels, yeah, intricate Swiss yodels, I think. I've been to Germany 4 times this year. And, oh, boy, long way from here.
You ever yodel the cacti?
Pardon?
You ever yodel the cacti?
Yodel,
hey, national anthem.
That one.
Hey, bravo.
It's very nice.
That's wonderful.
Do you yodel?
And there's other Swiss ones like... Yeah, that's Swiss.
That was also beautiful.
Bravo.
Could you yodel one more cacti?
My voice has dropped down about 2 octaves this morning.
Yeah, but it sounds fantastic. I agree with Don. Can we get a yodel of the cacti again?
To the cacti?
That's that thing you just did a minute ago.
Could you yodel one more cacti?
The one I just did.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll tell you, we've had... a lot of women yodel our cacti. Hi.
But that is fantastic.
She's the best.
Bravo, Mary.
Mary, you're really the best. You're really the best.
You're crazy.
Now, where can people get this album of yours?
Oh, anywhere. I believe it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yodeling the Classics.
Yodeling the Classics.
International.
Right.
And will you be appearing in the United States anytime in the near future?
Yeah, I'm thinking of coming back soon, and I'd love that. We're sort of organizing something now.
Do you think Kathy Lee is a bitch?
No, I didn't find her a bitch. Why do people say that? I found her really sweet.
Well, we think she's the Antichrist.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. It's her final week, you know, on Regis and Kathy Lee. She's leaving the show, thank God.
Really?
Yes.
When you were on that show, did Regis ever ask you to yodel the cacti?
No. What's yodel? What is it?
That's one of our favorite songs, Yoda Le Cacti.
Next time you're in the States, ask somebody about the expression. It's a wonderful expression. It's a colloquialism.
Yoda Le Cacti.
I worked at a gay club over there. It was really nice.
Oh, I bet there was some yodeling of the cacti going on in there.
Yeah, there were.
You worked at a gay club?
Yeah, Barracuda Club.
Really?
Barracuda.
It was really nice. And I had out the front, Queen Mary has arrived.
Oh, fantastic. So you, nothing wrong with that. And I hope you enjoyed your experience there.
I did. They were great.
Did you ever meet a guy named Big Joe DiCaprio?
No.
Mm. We were just wondering if you worked at a gay club. He makes the circuit of all the places. He's a regular on this show.
Uh-huh.
And Mary, finally, may I ask you to please be a good celebrity and take our sex quiz?
Oh, my God.
It's 14, 14 questions.
We will not ask you your age, though.
Everyone from politicians to television stars to athletes have taken this quiz on our show. You would be the first yodeler to take the sex quiz.
And the first international star.
Oh, God.
All right, are you ready, Yodel the Cacti?
Yeah. Okay.
All right, here we go. 14 very easy questions for Mary Schneider. Here we go. Mary, have you ever been in a three-way or had group sex?
Oh, gee. Do I have to answer all these things?
Well, the way we did it when we had the presidential candidate on, he actually answered all of them. I was going to say he could, you know, if you don't want to answer, you say, I don't want to answer.
But if you say you don't want to answer, it makes us think the answer is yes.
Yeah, we mark it down as a yes.
Oh, God. No.
No, okay.
All right.
No.
Sorry. How boring.
Have you ever had sex while menstruating?
Oh, Jesus. Pass that one, please.
She's passing?
Yes. Have you ever had a lesbian experience?
That means yes. What are you talking about?
Have you, Mary Schneider, have you ever had a lesbian experience?
Oh, God. No.
Have you ever made love in your parents' home?
No.
Have you ever enjoyed...
I sound quite boring now.
No, that's all right. There have been more boring people than you.
Have you ever enjoyed... Have you ever enjoyed hot interracial sex?
Oh, dear. I don't know quite how to say that one. What a...
That would mean yes.
All right, very good.
Mary, have you...
Too much, you guys.
Mary, have you ever J-O'd in front of others? Do you know what J-O means?
Yes. I think I do.
Have you ever done that in front of others?
No.
Well, all right.
Have you ever had sex in a public place?
Oh, God. I don't know how to answer these.
That's a yes.
Yes. All right, very good.
Oh, I suppose.
All right, you're more than halfway through. Have you ever been filmed or photographed while having sex?
No, I'm sorry.
You don't need to apologize for any of your answers, Mary.
Right. But I have to because I sound pretty boring.
No, you have a couple of yes happenings here. Have you ever had sex in the no-no spot?
You know, in the bad place?
No.
She said no, and right before you gave her the yes bell.
Say no?
She said no.
Yeah. Okay. Mary?
Ask everyone these questions?
Yeah, every celebrity we ever have on the show.
Mary?
Unbelievable.
Don't be mad at me, be mad at the dirt. Mary?
Oh, God.
Do you swallow?
You're worse than Howard Stern, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mention his name one more time and see how many CDs we sell for you. Mary, do you swallow?
I'm sorry.
I guess that? She said, do you swallow?
Do I swallow?
Yes. We need a yes or a no answer.
No.
No, the answer is no. You're doing very well so far, Mary.
Only when I'm eating, you know.
There you go. Very good. Good answer.
Mary, what is your total number of sexual partners?
And you can, if it goes back a long way, you can kind of give us a guesstimate.
No, you can't. No answer for that.
No answer.
Sorry.
Then,
no.
Buzz, write down 100.
100. All right, now we're tabulating your score.
No, we have three more questions.
Oh, three more. I forgot this.
Mary, have you J-O'd today?
No, it's 7 o'clock in the morning.
Well, have you ever had sex in a car?
No.
Yeah, all right.
I'd be lying about that one.
Mm-hmm.
Mary, have you ever had one-night stand?
Guys, what is this joke?
Have you ever had a one-night stand or sex with a stranger? it.
That I sound boring.
I got to feel those old birds lying about all of this stuff. But Buzz, what is the total for Mary Schneider, Australia's Queen of Yodeling?
Our most innocent contestant ever with just two yes answers.
Oh, the most innocent.
Just two yes answers.
You are the most innocent of anyone taking, and lots of people have taken this test.
Mm-hmm. Am I most innocent?
Yes. The most innocent. Yes.
You are the most innocent.
Oh. Heaven.
You're a delicate, innocent flower, Mary.
Any answer you want to change?
Is that right?
No. Well, listen, it's been wonderful talking to you.
Yeah.
Please,
God.
If you're ever in America again,
I gotta live this down, you guys.
Please feel free to yodel my cacti.
We loved having you on the show, Mary.
I gotta find out what that means.
I think you know what it means.
I'm pretty square, you know.
Yeah, I know you are. You're the most innocent of all the celebrities that have taken the sex quiz, Mary.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. Mary, it's been great having you on. And we hope you sell many copies of your brand new CD, Yodeling the Classics.
Hope you're...
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, fellas. You're really sweet.
It's a pleasure having you on. Hope you keep yodeling forever.
No, I will.
Thank you. Yodel my cacti. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye for now.
Bye.
Really? You mean you might come back at some point?
I hope so.
Would you come back on the show if we asked?
Yeah, absolutely. No more sex quiz, though, please.
Well, once you've taken it, you never have to take it again.
No, thank God for that.
All right.
See ya.
All right.
Bye, Mary.
Yodel my cacti.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We'll just wait for her to hang up.
Hold on for the post-interview, please. Miss Schneider?
Yeah?
Hold on for the post-interview, please. Okay, Rob. She's on line 4.
Ask her how it went. Now we'll find out.
Mary, baby? How do you think that went? No, I think it went really well. We want to have you back on real soon.
Not a chance.
Oh, this is their producer, Al Toyd. No, not Charles. Charles works for me.
Yeah.
Okay, so we want to have you back real soon.
Ask her how she thought it went.
How do you think it went? Oh, you don't sound like you're happy. The boys are delighted. They're yodeling on the air right now. Yes. Hmm. Everybody. Are you sure you've never had it in a car? I'm kidding, of course. We really want to have you back on soon.
Right.
Everyone does listen to it. That's right. Don't sweat it. And we're sorry about yodeling the cacti. I mustn't say. It's very clean.
It's a colloquialism,
yes. No, it's not. It's a little like that, but different.
Swallowing the snake.
What?
Oh, that.
Yes, you will. All right, and I bid you adieu with another American colloquialism. Swallow the snake. That's right. Right. Kiss the eel. All right, jump the rope. God bless you, Dollface. You're great. Love you. Want to have you back. Need you. That's right. Love you. Bye, baby. She wants to come back.
There you go. She wants to come back.
Australia's indeed a foreign country.
Eller, don't wait for the call.
Yodel the cacti.
Hello. Don, my show. I was laughing so much I couldn't even say that to him.
Oh, God, you killed me with that one.
Yodel the cacti.
Yodel the yodel.
Hello.
Hi, this is Bill from New Jersey.
Hello, Bill.
How you doing? You guys are great.
Thank you.
I was wondering if I could get a chance at the Secret Sound.
No, Bill.
Oh, come on.
Bill, we are punishing the good people of New York City.
Oh, man, we got to be able to participate more in the show. That's why we can't get the ratings up.
No, Bill, you have to give us the ratings, then you may participate in the show.
Okay.
Bill, why do you make me do this to you?
It's a disciplinary action, Bill.
Uh-huh. I'm the one that's listening every day.
I understand that, but unfortunately you have to get more of your friends to listen, Bill, or the punishment will stand.
Why do you make us hurt you, Bill?
Oh, I guess that leaves out a Las Vegas-style show, huh?
For the people of Las Vegas? Oh, no, for the people of New York?
People of New York City.
Yeah, absolutely. Please, if the ratings show we have a 1.1 share, we're not going to embarrass ourselves by coming to New York and performing in an empty club.
Right.
Oh, no, we can fill up a club, no problem.
Well, lots of good stuff to come as those ratings creep up, Bill. Something for you to look forward to.
Listen, you got
to
fill up those ratings before you fill up those clubs.
Okay, guys.
Okay, listen, don't take it personally. We're not mad at you.
We're mad at the dirt.
We're mad at the dirt.
And everything's going to get better as the ratings go up, and we're very confident that they will.
Okay, great.
But until they do, you know, this is, you know, it's harder on us than it is on you.
It just means that, you know, people like you have to work a little harder, Bill.
I'll try.
Tell me something, Bill. What have you done today to perpetuate our show, the growth of our show in New York?
Yeah, Bill. Well, today I've been kind of busy, but I've been talking all my friends.
Ah, see? Today he's been kind of busy.
Yeah, Bill, every day we ask you to just take a little time out to promote this show.
Okay,
Is that too much to ask?
Nope.
Very good.
Because you know, NEW is never going to do anything to promote it. They're not going to do dick.
No, and we want it, you know, we rely on word of mouth, even in a giant town like New York City. All right, Bill.
Okay.
Mock us if you like. You know, you're too busy to help promote the show, but you're not too busy to play the secret sound game.
And just think, Bill, privileges like the Las Vegas-style show and playing our games, even on tape delay, those will come your way as soon as those ratings go up.
Bill.
Okay, guys.
All right, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
Bill.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Bill. I don't feel secure with our future being in the hands of Bill.
I don't either. But Bill, you know, maybe Bill can prove us wrong.
Can you, Bill?
Can you do that for us? You can, Bill? You're sure?
Definitely.
What is your plan of action when you hang up the phone to make sure that our show succeeds in New York?
I mean, I will get out here in my plant and tell everybody to listen to Don and Mike.
Everybody in your plant?
Tonight.
That's great.
What plant is that?
Oh, this is a Leggett and Platt. We're a Fortune 500 company, so we got a lot of employees.
That's fantastic. Wow. Bill, that's more than we'd ever dream of.
Bill, why don't you get on the intercom right now? Do you have an in-house intercom?
No, I don't have access to an in-house intercom.
Oh, you don't? So you're going to have to do this individually?
How many people work at your plant?
We have about 50 people here, but we have hundreds of people in the state, and we've got 27,000 in the country.
So I get the impression you're going to be on the phone as well as seeing the 50 individually?
Hey, I'll be making some phone calls.
Bill, what about a memo to the staff?
Okay.
Very good, Bill. Bill's going along with everything we're suggesting.
Let me dictate this memo.
Great idea, guys.
Dictate this memo. To staff, from Bill.
R.E., the greatest radio show in the history of the world.
Okay.
Attention, staff. I would like to inform you as to the greatest radio show on the planet, the Don and Mike Show, which airs evenings on WNEW-FM. I am embarrassed that I am the only person in this office who listens to this fine radio show. Can you read that back to me, Bill?
Okay. No.
Okay. No.
But you know what? What, Bill? Listen tonight, and I'll write it down when I hear it.
Very clever, Bill.
Make use of the tape.
Bill, I am able to listen to the Don and Mike Show faithfully every night because I have not had a piece of ass since 1987.
No, I won't say that.
He won't say it. He will not. That's not the best memo he's ever heard.
Please listen to the Don and Mike Show, or I shall be forced to methodically, one by one, kill every member of my company staff. I just saw the movie American Psycho.
Oh, there you go. Yes. And then P.S. I mean it.
Yeah.
There you go. Bill.
Yeah, right. That's good. Yeah. Yeah. Excellent. P.S. I really mean it.
Love Bill.
Love Bill.
Come on. Be nice, guys. I'm one of your supporters out here.
I know it, Bill. We appreciate that.
This is what we call tough love, Bill.
Bill, you're one of our foot soldiers. So, again, that memo says, you know, dear staff, I found the greatest show. It's on every night on NEW. Please listen. Haven't been laid since 87. If you don't listen, I will kill all members of the staff one at a time. Mm-hmm. P.S. I really mean it.
Love, Bill.
Love, Bill.
Okay.
Thank you for your support, Bill.
God bless you, Bill.
Okay. Bye-bye, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bill? Just about as eager to get off the telephone as anyone we've ever had. Who is more eager to get off the phone, the Yodel Lady or Bill?
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Bill.
Hello.
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 Oh, good morning.
Right.
I'm calling from Portland, Oregon, and listening to all the problems with Bill, I just thought I'd tell you guys that our station, KGUY, plays you from 11 to 5.
Plays us what?
Plays you from 11 to 5. Instead of 4.5 hours, we get you for 6.
Hey.
They work on J.J. McKay and her.
How do they manage to run the show for 6 hours a day when we only do a 4.5 hour show?
Darned if I know. But I turn it on at 11. I get one of your best of. You come on at 12. Then from about 4:30 to 5, they play another best of.
I got you.
That's terrific. Right. I appreciate that.
Very smart programming on the behalf of radio station KGUY in Portland.
And we appreciate you sharing it with us. Thanks so much.
No problem. If you ever get a chance to talk to J.J. McKay, just remember Anna Nicole Smith. She looks like J.J.
That's the general manager of our station in Portland.
Well, super duper.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Goodbye.
Right. Bye, diddly bye.
Bye-bye.
P.S. I mean it. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, buddy, what time are we having steak tonight?
It's Fez.
Is this Fez,
hey,
Don?
Hey,
I want to be standing right behind Buzz when he says, this just in.
I want to make a deposit in the Burbank.
Hey.
Hey, it's Charlie Stossel there. I want him to give me a bath.
Knock it off. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, can I talk to the guys?
You're on the air with us.
Other.
Oh, hello, fellas.
Hi.
I just wanted to clue you in on KGUI is a turd thrower, not a flamethrower. Can barely hear that thing going over any bridge.
All right, thank you for the positive words.
Thanks so much.
There's
a
friend.
Happy, wonderful,
thank
great
you.
Human being.
Thank you. Now listen, one more call. Hi, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike show?
Hi.
Hey, this is Matt. I was your contest winner about 2 weeks ago.
No,
you
guys
gave me a brand new TV.
Oh, you...
I received it the other day in the mail. You guys were not on the air, so I figured I'd call now and say thank you very much.
I love contest winners calling and telling us they got their prizes. I kind of dig that.
That's very nice, because more times than not, we get someone going, hey, I won a T-shirt 2 days ago, and I didn't get it yet.
Exactly.
Yeah, you received a television in the mail?
Yes, I just moved into a nice new apartment, and it works like a charm.
Nice.
Yes, I equate this as a radio version of somebody getting a nice gift and sending a thank you note. It's very thoughtful.
Right,
exactly.
Very nice.
Thank you, guys. I just wanted to say, the people of New York, you want the ratings because you want a Las Vegas-style show.
Right. Thank you, my friend.
All right, thanks, guys.
And frankly, you know, I don't care if our station in Portland is the biggest broke-dick radio station in the world. If they're running this show for 6 hours a day...
God love them.
More power to them.
Amen.
Now, listen, I'd love to go with more of these calls, but we have a special caller coming up next.
Very good.
I can't tell you much about it. He's been screened. All I can tell you is the guy claims to have killed over 30 cats.
Oh, my God.
A guy on our telephone who says he's killed over 30 cats, and he gets his nut off by killing innocent cats.
That's terrible.
That's a real person calling. You know,
that's not
a paid actor.
No.
And, Mike, I'm outraged. I'm outraged by this man on the telephone.
Me too.
Who's calling to tell us, not to tell us, to brag to us.
Amazing.
About the fact that he has killed 30 cats.
Oh, wow. How could he possibly get somebody to call you with that?
All I know, Mike, is that he called.
Wow.
He called, and he's standing by now to talk to us.
Amazing.
But we will put this scoundrel on the air.
Amazing.
This person we know nothing about.
Mm-hmm.
This totally random call that came into our show from a guy who says he's killed 30 cats.
Wow.
It's disgusting. Right, Buzz? It's awful. Mm. And we will talk to him.
Very good.
Right after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Don and Mike Show goes to war.
This time, no mercy on you.
Sure.
You son of a bitch.
The enemy, Jack Diamond, a.k.a. Harvey Joel Fisher.
The Harvey Joel Fisher Pandora's box has been opened.
Everybody in the radio business hates you.
So does this war have Harvey in over his head?
I got some news for you. You're in deep water now, okay? You're swimming with the big boys now.
Don and Mike even mercifully offer the enemy a way out.
And the only way it's going to end is when you come on this show and ask us publicly to please stop talking about you.
But despite all of his tough talk, Harvey Joel pussies out just 24 hours later.
Harvey.
Good morning.
All right, well, I will accept this as your apology since you were big enough to call us.
Well, thank you, guys.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Have a night. Have a nice day.
Thank you very much.
The Allied forces of the Don and Mike Show prove victorious once again, keeping America safe. So remember what we've learned. Don't with Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara, and God bless America. With roughly half of our affiliates still airing the program, it's the Don and Mike Show.
All right, big Las Vegas-style show.
Oh, yeah.
Tomorrow night, we're going to be at Club Element in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Big giant, thank you. for making us number one in the ratings party.
Oh, it's going to be great.
Also tomorrow night, all your Vegas-style show favorites. So glad to be back in D.C. doing one of these shows. The Nude Feud.
Yeah.
Live on stage. The return of Dennis Murphy. Big Joe, Homo Joe DiCaprio.
Fantastic.
Cheryl the Big Dyke will be there with her challenge.
Mm-hmm.
The underwear fashion show and a special birthday tribute to the bath day. The bath day. Birthday.
A birthday bath day.
For Charlie Stossel.
Yeah, baby.
All of that tomorrow night. We will be at Club Element in D.C. We'll hit the stage at about 8:30, quarter till 9. Club Element, right across the street from MCI Center. Don't cost nothing. Please come by. We'd love to see you tomorrow night for the big thank you for listening show, the big Las Vegas style show.
It'll be great.
Now, as I mentioned, just an outrageous caller on the line, a man who claims he has killed at least 30 cats.
Horrible.
He's been waiting on hold to talk to us. Hello?
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 Uh-huh.
Will you give us your name, please?
My name is John Smith.
And John Smith, what did you want to say on the Don and Mike show today?
I wanted to call the Don and Mike show because it's my favorite show.
Yes.
And tell you that I've got a problem. I kill cats.
You kill cats?
Yes, I do.
Well, why is that, Mr. Smith? Why do you kill cats? That's awful.
Well, I'm calling your show because I knew you might understand and help me. Because I kill cats because I can't stop.
Well, now, the whole idea of someone killing cats sounds to me like a ruse. Sounds to me, Mike.
My
crap detector is going off. I don't believe you that you kill cats.
No, I do. I do. I don't like them, and I find them and I kill them.
How do you kill?
I chop their heads off.
Chop their heads off.
Yes, I do.
Now, you've been waiting on hold for roughly. How long you've been waiting on hold to talk to us today?
2 hours.
You've been waiting for 2 hours.
2 hours and. I really don't like cats.
You don't like cats?
Uh-huh.
I want to tell you something, Buzz. This is the kind of controversial, shocking call that will get water cooler talk going about this show tomorrow.
Yeah, it will.
Listen,
kill cats.
Do you hear that? We have a cat executioner on the telephone.
Yeah, that's me.
I find nothing funny about this. This is disturbing.
Sick.
This bothers me. We should do star 69 to find your phone number.
You don't need to do that.
Why?
You just don't. There's no need for you to do.
It's a good idea.
Star 69 is where you find out the phone number.
Why would you possibly kill cats?
You know, I'll be walking down the street, and I'll see a cat, and the cat will look at me, and I'll look back at the cat, and it really makes me so angry that I have to kill it. It really upsets me, but I can't control myself.
Buzz,
I knew that if I called the Don and Mike show, you could help me.
Buzz, I just want to say something to you and everybody listening.
I want
to
stop.
This is the type of call that a show like ours attracts. This is the kind of wild, spontaneous,
amazing,
outrageous telephone call that only the Don and Mike show can bring you. A man who claims to have killed 30 cats calling us now to talk about it on this radio show.
He gets to, Don. I want to make sure that I can control my cat killing, so I thought that I'd call your show because you might be able to do something to help me, because I can't stop. I kill cats. I'm a bad man.
This is so outrageous. This is such an outrageous concept.
Outrageous, if you please.
Let me ask, why would you call, sir? Why would you call?
Why?
Because, Charlie, I called because
tell me now, this is such an outrageous, set of circumstances. Why would you call to tell us you kill cats?
Because Wendy, when I listened...
Tell us why...
I can't.
Why would you call?
I can't lie.
All right, then tell me, why would you call?
No.
Tell me, why would you call?
Don, I don't want to. Don, I really don't want to now.
This is
don't keep asking me why I called.
This is such an outrageous topic. Why would you call and tell us you've killed 30 defenseless cats? Why?
Hold on a second. Hold on.
All right.
Charlie's asking me why I called.
He must be talking to a friend of his, Buzz.
I don't want to come up.
Apparently, whoever his accomplice is in this is named Charlie.
I don't want to do.
These guys are sick.
Hello? I called because it's the right thing to do.
I don't believe you.
Oh, don't keep saying you don't believe me, Don.
Don?
Yes?
Don?
Yes?
It's Charlie.
Charlie's doing Stabilac.
Charlie's doing Stabilac, and I never killed any cats.
Of course you didn't, Charlie.
No, Don.
I know you love animals.
It wasn't my idea, Don. It was Charlie Breuer's idea.
I know you love animals. Why would...
Charlie Breuer said he wants me to call just like that guy to call the Howard Stern Show. And he said he'd pay me $200 like the actor to call the Howard Stern Show. And that's why he said if I call you and I tell you that I've killed 30 cats, then he'll pay me $200 like the guy got paid for calling the Howard Stern Show.
Oh, well, listen, Charlie,
sorry,
listen.
God. I blew the whole thing. Wow. I'm just too stupid.
How did I not even know that it was you with your distinctive voice? And Charlie, don't cry. Charlie, don't cry. Now, listen. Listen, I know nobody loves...
I love Pussy Dawn. I do.
And
I love
Charlie,
cats. And I know Mr. Burbank. I never killed a cat, Mr. Burbank.
I'm glad to hear that,
Charlie. I know you love cats. You love Pussy more than any of us.
Now, Charlie, I want to tell you something. Whatever you do on other radio shows... Whatever shows you call to make money to pretend that you've done something bad...
Because I'm a radio actor.
I cannot control that. But don't call our show because we don't run our show like that, no.
Does that mean I don't get my $200 for calling?
No, you should call the other disc jockey.
No. Yeah, well, they pay $200 to anybody.
I know, well, I've read that in the newspaper, but no. Charlie, we don't pay for our outrageous phone calls on this show.
No,
we don't.
Well, I'm
very
sorry, Don.
That's all right, Charlie.
I'm sorry that I pretended to be somebody I wasn't. That's for other radio shows.
Charlie, how would you like it if I bought you 200 scoops of ice cream?
Oh, yes, Don. I'd love the ice cream. Yes, please. You're fantastic. Charlie,
he's going to
buy me.
There he goes. A scam.
Well, as it turns out, Buzz, all along it was a scam. It was a pay-for-play scam.
That's not right.
Not on this show.
No. Amen.
We don't accept that. We don't accept paid actors.
Not here.
No, please don't. Please apply elsewhere. Even though he was a skilled actor.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I was believing him from the first moment he was on the telephone.
I was in such a state of shock that he actually killed cats.
Yeah.
And then it turned out to be Charlie Stewart Stabilac.
I know.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi. What's up, guys?
Hi.
Dude.
Yes,
Charlie, I don't know what's up with him, but he is a doppelganger for a guy who used to call a morning radio show in New York City back like 5-10 years ago. The Z Morning Zoo. The guy was named Mr. Leonard.
Same
person.
This is a real radiophile now.
Yes, it is the exact same person.
Right. Yes.
He has changed his name and moved to our show.
Yes.
Wow, that's scary. I think I need to sit down now.
Goodbye.
There you go. Now you know the answer.
Goodbye.
Wow. And knowing is half the battle.
Absolutely. Right.
Yes, it is.
There you go. Hello, John and Mike.
Knowledge
John and Mike.
Hello.
Every show needs a Charlie.
You know what's funny about this? I don't know if I can translate this or
it's
not.
It's hard because it's very inside. That call was very inside, too.
A long time ago, when our general manager left, Alan Goodman, you know, he who had the thing on his nuts that he had to have boiled off, he left our radio station in D.C. to be the general manager of Z100 in New York.
Right.
Now, Mike, of course, has been Charlie on our show for over 15 years.
Long time.
And a lot of people in the industry picked up on that. And, you know, all of a sudden, throughout the radio industry, and on every morning zoo, a guy with a high-pitched voice sounded like Charlie.
Right.
And there was one in New York, and his name was Mr. Leonard, and he was on the Z Morning Zoo, and he was awful, a pale imitation of Mike. And one day we were talking to Goodman, and we said to Goodman, hey, listen, you know, we hear this character. It's a ripoff of Charlie on Z100, Mr. Leonard. And he said to us, D.M., every show needs a Charlie.
And just coming out of him, it was so jive and so funny. Like many things that Alan said over the years, it was just funny hearing him say it, you know? It's like, hello, I'm Alan Goodman. Every show needs a Charlie.
And he went up there and he said to them, you know what the show needs? Mm-hmm. The show needs something like this character, Charlie.
Absolutely.
Who had been on with Don and Mike. You get a guy with a high voice.
You go, here's what you do.
That's right.
It'll be fantastic, baby.
See, the guy who was such a genius calling us a moment ago.
Right.
Doesn't realize,
we've been doing this an awful long time.
Right, what a horse's ass he is. Mm-hmm. Jesus.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hope we translated that well.
I think so. Absolutely.
You know, we have so many subtle messages going in this break. So many subtle messages about actors calling to pretend that they're somebody that they're not.
Yeah, we just kind of have to reiterate this is the real deal.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, I am a real caller.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, I have a question. I've been listening to y'all for a long time, and I love your show. Would y'all be willing to help a poor guy out?
No.
I have a little problem.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Now I know.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi. Mr. Leonard's still on in Boston.
All right, well, listen, do you understand what I was telling you? That there are now 30 or 40 guys who have stolen the persona that Mike had as Charlie and turned it into whatever this Mr. Leonard name is.
Right.
Do you understand?
Right.
No, you don't, though.
Yeah, I do. I just thought it was interesting that Mr. Leonard's still on. He's on 98.5 on some morning
okay.
in Boston.
I'm sure it's not the same guy. See, you don't get it.
His name's Mr. Leonard, though.
But that is another.
This is like a guy who hears Johnny Dark in Baltimore and then drives to San Diego and says, "Hey, Johnny Dark has moved to San Diego,"
right.
Not knowing that in every town in America there's a disc jockey named Johnny Dark.
Oh, I see what you're saying. All right.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks, Don.
Thank you.
Bye, Mike.
Bye. So difficult educating.
I know.
Trying to entertain and trying to educate just doesn't mix it very often.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
How you guys doing?
These high concepts.
We're doing great, thank you.
Hey, I got a number for you guys to call for a product I saw on TV the other day.
What is the product, sir?
It was called NADS.
NADS? We've heard all about NADS. We've seen the ads for NADS.
Oh, for that hair removal?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, I'm watching that American Hollow, too, right now.
Great show on HBO.
Yeah.
My favorite hillbilly show. Thank you.
All right.
All right, one more call. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, how you doing?
How may we educate you today?
Well, I tell you, I lived in the Philippines for 4 years. We had a lot of weird stuff. And your last caller was talking about cats.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, well, you know, we ate dog. I just wanted to share some cooking tips.
All right. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yes, hello?
Hello.
Yes, I got paid to call your show.
Right.
Yeah, what did you do?
I'm just getting paid to call and be funny.
All right, well, then,
well, I'm laughing at him already.
Go ahead, slay us.
I'm sorry?
I said slay us. Go ahead.
Oh, am I not funny right now?
Okay, that's it. It's officially time for a money-back guarantee.
Mm-hmm. I'm being funny, right?
Right. Right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. I'll call back.
This is, this is the last time that we try to educate our audience.
What's going on
in the world of radio?
You open that door, you pull that curtain back a little bit, and all of a sudden, everybody starts piling in, and there's no room.
Right. It's like one of those clown cars. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
That's right. I'm coming to your corporate headquarters. My plane gets in at 2, and we'll settle this deodorant thing face-to-face like men. What's your last name again, Phil? All right. I'll see you in 5 hours, Mr. Lacio.
It's time to lock crotches and swap gravy. It's time for Don and Mike.
All right. I'm going to avoid the telephones for just a second. I'm going to go with this. From our wacky story file.
Mm-hmm.
We've got about a million different stories here. Tell me which one of these sounds good to you guys. Meet the RuPaul of religion. He's a Christian cross-dresser.
Well, I think I saw him in New Orleans over the weekend.
The story that involves one of our favorite porn stars, Little Annie Sprinkle.
Hey, Little Annie Sprinkle. Oh, hot stuff.
Wow. The last time, we called Little Annie Sprinkle, wasn't she living in a houseboat?
The houseboat sank.
The houseboat sank.
To help buy her a new houseboat.
We had talked to her when that was going on, right? When they were having the benefit.
Okay. Shirley MacLaine in the news.
Hey, fantastic. Always a good chance to call Shirley.
You know, she's one of the few celebrities that will actually really take our telephone calls.
Right.
A Hollywood cemetery where you can be buried with the stars.
Hello, stars.
Or disaster victims to get anti-diarrhea donations.
Really?
That's what we have for you. You know what? Why don't we start with Shirley?
Shirley MacLaine.
Let's see what happens.
Good call.
The story says, weeping Shirley MacLaine photo predicts Olympic bombing.
Uh-oh. Mm.
A Jamaican living in Los Angeles claims that the opening ceremonies of the Summer Olympics will be marred by bombings. 74-year-old Dr. Ernest Montgomery claims the prediction comes straight from a photograph of Shirley MacLaine that has been crying for the last 3 weeks.
Wow. So this is one of those deals where it's just a regular photograph, but it has tears coming out of it?
You've called her about a crying portrait before, and she laughed it off. Remember, there was someone, I think, like in the Philippines, they had a crying portrait. Remember, she cried when she said she saw it?
Oh, all right.
Okay.
She's been aware of this phenomenon before.
All right, let's try to call the guy first, the guy with the crying picture.
Yeah, I'd like to find out where it is, you know.
Because maybe we can put him on with Shirley. She'll take our call.
That would be great.
Give me a second.
The weeping Shirley MacLaine.
Right.
You know. That's the sound it makes, too, if you get close to the photo.
Listen, put your ear down by Shirley MacLaine's picture. Why did I make guarding tests? Hello, doctor?
The new millennium, we should strive for peace and prosperity.
Oh, Jesus.
For more information pertaining to our black Jewish confessions,
Jews,
you will be given two menu choices.
And all God's children are worshiping and living together in unity.
What's he talking about?
Please
I don't know.
Your name, address, and telephone number, together with a brief message, and Dr. Ernesto Moshe Montgomery will return your call as soon as possible.
Your call,
during our free study sessions,
Hebrew
and Spanish will be taught.
Hebrew and Spanish.
Hi, my name is Ken Stevens. Whatever you're selling, I want it. You can reach me at radio station WNEW, New York City. Area code 212-489-1027. Call early, call often. All right, now that we know what that message is, let's try to call Cheryl.
See if she knows anything about this.
And if nothing else, we can call and let her leave a message.
Yes.
You know, saying, how dare you?
Okay. How dare you, sir? And how dare you, Mr. President?
And if she's not there, I'm sure her answering machine will say wherever she's traveled to.
It's always entertaining.
Because it always says that. Like, hi, I'm Shirley. I'm in Paris.
I'm out of the country now.
You know.
Hello?
Hello, Shirley?
Yes?
Hi, this is Don and Mike.
He's over.
Whore!
Rob.
It's lying whore!
She's a whore.
Rob, that's a major star.
That's right, she's a major whore!
It's gone bad.
It's gone bad. She just wanted us. That was the Tony Randall greeting. We've overstayed that. How long had that welcome mat been out?
At least 5 years. Every time we've called her, she's taken the call.
Yes, it's over now.
Damn.
No, I know. We tried. We tried desperately. We tried desperately.
We call her and ask her why. Ask her what went wrong.
Why she scorned us.
We do nothing but love Shirley MacLaine.
Absolutely. This is a very sad day.
Maybe we forgot to send her the $200.
You're the professional actress.
Yeah. Right.
She is a pro.
No, that was the real Shirley MacLaine. And now you're going to hear Rob. And this is where his hands really get shaky.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens.
Because now Rob has to ask Shirley MacLaine, just holding the regular telephone.
He'll be a little more polite than he was with that yodeler.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that right now.
Might hear me yodel.
As if she's mad at us. Pick up the phone now.
I hope she's got.
And she sounded so happy.
Yeah.
She was laughing and she said, oh, goodbye. I clicked.
Tell her I just watched that awful guarding test over the weekend.
I love guarding tests.
With Spanish subtitles.
I love
down in Miami.
Just wanted to leave you a message. This is Rob. I'm one of Don and Mike's producers. We wanted to apologize for bothering you. And we were wondering if we've done something wrong. Because in the years past, you've always taken our calls and we thought we enjoyed quite a nice relationship. And I think we both benefited from that.
Tell her we love her.
We love you very much. As a matter of fact, I myself just recently watched Being There. I thought you were fantastic.
I watched Guarding Tess.
John watched Guarding Tess. And Mike always watched
Terms of Endearment.
Terms of Endearment. Like 2-3 times a week.
So if you could give us a call back, 800...
877.
I'm sorry, 877-636.
No.
No, what is our number?
See how flustered he gets.
Yes, he's totally.
He's so easy talking to the yodeler.
Mm-hmm.
But now when he's leaving a message for Shirley MacLaine, he falls a freaking part.
I'm flustered because I'm a very big fan. And we hope there's no hard feelings.
Shirley, listen. He's just my lackey. Mike and I love you.
We love you and we want to talk to you.
We love you. We're sorry for whatever we did.
Please. Answer the phone the next time we call.
You know, maybe you were just busy.
Yes.
Maybe you were just busy.
Yeah.
But frankly, you sounded rather curt with us.
We love you and we want to have you on the show again.
Yes. So we love you. Now, back to my lackey. Who's peeing his pants, incidentally. But he's leaving a message for Shirley MacLaine.
Not really peeing, Shirley. So please call us back, 703-691-1900. And we look forward to rebuilding this relationship and making it stronger than ever.
I'm going to wrap it up.
Day to you.
Very good.
Okay.
There we go.
She's screening. She heard all that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awful.
She's still a great lady.
Yeah. That's awful. That's the only real in that we've had.
I know.
I mean, she's more reliable than Leah Remedy. I mean, when we call Shirley MacLaine, it's always, yes, hi, guys.
She might not be as reliable on the reliability scale as Al Molinaro, though.
True.
But Al Molinaro's had a lot of times where he just hasn't picked up the phone. But we could use an Al Molinaro fix right now just to talk to anyone famous, just to know that,
give me the number.
That they care if he's still with us.
Because I know if we called Leah... we'd get Leah Remedy from TV's King of Queens, but
do you know that our episode was on last night?
Yeah,
we were on last night.
Was it really?
Yes, it was on. It was on last night.
Where is it?
Well, if we called her though, we'd be on the phone with her for an hour.
Okay.
Al Molinaro.
Al Molinaro. We can keep that conversation as brief as we want. Maybe we could ask him if he ever yodeled just to tie everything on this show in together.
Okay, here we go.
Al Molinaro. Al Molinaro, star of Happy Days and the Swansons. Is it Swanson?
No.
Encore. Encore. Frozen Dinners.
Also in the Weezer video.
Mm-hmm. Yep. This is his last big thing.
It's like Buddy Holly.
And he was writing a book the last time you talked to him.
And you married Tyler Moore.
He's been writing a book for 3 years.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, hello. Is Al there?
Who?
Al Molinaro.
Oh, sorry. You have the wrong number.
Thank you, honey.
Oh, dear.
Okay.
Pull it out again, Robbie.
There's not a chance he would have moved out of the house and rented a room. Hi, it's Al Molinaro.
Moved or been removed.
Very good chance I misdialed. Wrong
did area. Did we burn the bridge with Van Patten?
No.
You sure?
He's never called back, though.
He doesn't return our calls.
No, he doesn't. Like all the rest.
Joyce likes us. Pat, I mean.
That old queen, Dick Van Patten.
To send a fax, start now.
That's Al.
To leave a message, speak after the beep. Thank you.
God damn it.
Al, are you there, Al?
Al, it's Don and Mike. We need you to pick up the phone if you're there, because we really need to talk to you. It's been too long.
Al? Al?
Al Molinaro. You're not sleeping, are you?
Sleeping the eternal sleep.
Al? Al, please pick up. We don't have a fax. We just want to... we think you may be screening your calls. Have you made any Encore frozen dinner commercials recently?
Al, we're desperately trying to get in touch with you.
All right. We still love you, Al. We know when you're there, you'll pick up. You're probably not at home. You're probably out shopping.
Looking forward for the book. Bye, Al.
Bye, Al Molinaro.
All right, who's next?
If you want to call DVP, the last time you spoke to him, it went really well, because as you recall, you asked him about his little brother, Timmy, who's directing The Sopranos now.
Ah, that's right, it went great.
All
so,
right.
So we're fine with the DVP, and I like calling him DVP.
All right.
Or PVP. Or NVP or VVP.
Call the old queen.
Or RVP. Is there a Robbie Van Patten?
Yeah, oh, that's my
Robbie,
dream.
That's Robbie Van Winkle.
Ice. That's my new thing to call him, the queen. Like I called Merv Griffin an old queen.
A fat old queen, Doc. And isn't queen one of the nicest things?
Hi, it
is.
You, Rebecca, and Miles. Please leave a message and we'll get back to you.
No, you know what? I called the wrong... Jesus Christ.
Another family in Sherman Oaks.
Okay.
But they don't own a clay tennis court.
No, they don't. The biggest in L.A.
The only in L.A.
What are you going to say to him? That we're upset because Shirley MacLaine wouldn't take our call?
Yeah, maybe he knows. Yeah, start talk.
We can maybe see how what new projects are in the offing.
Hello.
Well, he's not there.
He might be on the court. If he's on the court, it takes him a while.
No, nope, we're going to get his joke.
Might be up
by this. Dick and Pat with the joke of the week. A man goes to his rabbi and he says, "Rabbi, my wife is trying to poison me. What should I do?" The rabbi says, "Don't worry, I'll talk to her." The rabbi comes back and says, "I just talked to your wife. Take the poison."
Hi, Dick. Dick. Pat.
Dick.
Don and Mike.
Don and Mike calling because it's just been too long since we've chatted with some of our favorite Hollywood people.
Thanks. Bye.
Have a good day. You're getting frustrated.
Yep.
I can tell. Who now? Are you calling?
Snipes.
Wesley Snipes. That didn't go well.
No.
The last time.
Maybe we just got that voicemail that goes,
Snipes.
It's you freeze the voicemail of
Snipes. That's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
We need to acquire a few more celebrity phone numbers.
Where's the guy who said he had the Trell Sprewell's pager?
Nope.
Sorry. Voicemail service is temporarily not available for this telephone. Please consult your directory
for
the number of the business you would like to reach. Goodbye.
Oh, look at that. Even Snipes has changed his number now.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Hold on.
We must have a few more in the book.
Maybe I know. You need a celebrity.
Maybe Tony, I do. We have to get a fix.
I wonder if Tony Randall has changed his tune.
I think that's last. That's last on the list, Buzz. Hold on.
Last time I saw Tony Randall, Letterman had him sitting on a rooftop in a chair.
We've used Dan Dierdorf as an emergency before, haven't we?
I believe we have, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Let me see. Max Baer won't work.
No.
Billy Mead Brothers won't work. I'm not trying Jethro again.
No, Billy Barney. Billy Barty!
All right, let's try the midget.
Yeah. Fantastic. Little person.
Dwarf.
Great. Just had his miniature golf tournament. That's what he calls it.
They started calling about a statue or a picture of Shirley MacLaine that's crying.
Now it's simply a quest to get through to someone famous after being summarily dismissed by Shirley MacLaine.
Billy Barty Foundation, how may I help you?
Hi, this is the Don and Mike Show. Do you mind going on the air with us?
Excuse me?
We're looking for Billy Barty.
Yeah, but he's not here.
Oh, okay.
All right, thank you.
If you want to put him on the air, I'll give you a number where he's at.
Yeah, sure. Hold on, honey.
Hold on just a second.
Hold on, please.
Everybody, welcome to the most desperate hour of our lives.
One of the great little people in Hollywood. Yeah. Billy Barty, soon to be on the show. Our guest today will be Billy Barty. That's very sad. I find Latrell Sprewell's pager to be more pathetic, though.
Thank you.
Oh, I don't.
Only because it's a pager.
I know.
I mean, you're going to get...
No, but let me page him. Hold on, because I've got Latrell Sprewell's pager. Hold on. Do. Okay.
Paging Latrell Sprewell.
Well, ask him to choke Ken. Imagine if he picks up the phone to us. Two whitest guys in America.
Hi there. Hi, Latrell. Gosh, your hair is pretty.
Latrell Sprewell. Hello?
Okay. Hello?
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 Is this Latrell?
No, it's not.
Hi, this is the Don and Mike Show. Do you mind going on the air with us? We're looking for Latrell.
I usually call the wrong number, but this is a production office.
Is this Latrell Sprewell's pager?
No.
Maybe he's so rich he has a guy who's just his pager. When he gets a call, he just goes, "Hey, Latrell, yo, you got a phone call."
Is this any kind of showbiz-related business?
No, it's not.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Oh, that didn't pay out either.
Do we have that special number for Billy Barty?
Yep.
Hi there.
Trying it right now, Mike.
That's Barty at home.
Very good. Billy Barty at home.
Hope he's in a good mood.
Yeah. All we need is a hello.
Yeah, he has a short temper.
Hello?
Yes, hi, this is the Don and Mike Show. Do you mind going on the air with us? We're looking for Billy Barty, please.
Yes.
Billy Barty!
Yeah.
It's the Don and Mike Show. How are you, Mr. Barty?
Oh, I don't know. How am I? All right, I guess.
We just received your phone number from, from Shirley MacLaine to Al Molinaro.
Oh, yeah.
To Wesley Snipes, to Latrell Sprewell.
Uh-huh.
It all ended up with you, Billy Barty, and we just wanted to say hi.
We're just calling
celebrities. Thank you very much.
celebrating anything.
Well, we're just, calling celebrities today, Billy Barty. Is there anything you'd like to promote on our show?
No, really, to be honest with you.
Well, we're just...
I've been in having a little doctor's care the last a week and a half.
Oh,
and,
Jesus. Sorry to hear that.
Got a little problems, but it's straightening out now, so...
All right, wonderful.
That I'm happy about.
Well, Billy, we're happy that you're home. We're happy that you took our call.
Where are you calling from?
We are calling from... Well, it's a national show. D.C., New York, Sacramento, all over the place. We're based in Washington, D.C., though, and we love calling...
Oh,
shows.
Yes. I know. I've heard of I've heard of that place. It's, a lot of people are there.
Yes, yes, very much so.
Yeah.
Well, Billy, thank you for your time.
Oh, listen, it's my time. Thank you for calling.
I hope you're feeling better, sir.
Oh, I am.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Welcome to officially the saddest day of our life.
He was promoting the fact that he just got out of the hospital. Just for anyone who's keeping track.
Yeah. Oh, and if you're following the food chain, that would be a hang-up from Shirley MacLaine.
Right.
An answering machine from the, we're pretty sure, dead Al Molinaro.
Right.
Wesley Snipes changed his phone number.
Mm-hmm.
Latrell Sprewell's pager didn't work.
And then Billy Barty, who wasn't short with us at all.
No. So to speak.
That was great.
Aye, aye, aye.
I am out of the doctor's care. Hope everything's all right.
But what really bothers me the most is the fact that Shirley MacLaine didn't take our call.
I know, but it could have been a lot worse. Billy Barty could have gone,
well, F you.
Yeah.
And your families, too.
Let's go to Buzz now for news and combat.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
God.
One man found a way to bring good news to his people.
God damn it.
He made it up.
Why don't people love us? It's a Buzz, the news.
Yes.
And Buzz, what's your lead story tonight?
Tonight, Bush chooses Dick.
Bush. All right, buddy, stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up.
Come on.
On the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very
professional, you loser.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Mike Show.
You know, Beverly, golfers like to keep dirt and debris off their golf balls.
Oh, yeah.
Particularly when you're putting. They call me three-putt buck. That's why we have cleaning devices around the golf courses. You know, those things you push up and down. Well, one golfer didn't use a wet towel or any cleaning device. He licked his balls clean.
This is the story of a
serving as a radio plushie for over 6 million listeners. The Don and Mike Show.
All right. There's no way around it. Tomorrow we're going to have to open up the phones and start paying $50 for the best celebrity phone numbers.
Very good.
Yeah, we need some new ones. Our phone book is just outdated.
It really needs an updating.
All the celebrity phone numbers we have suck.
Yeah.
And we've done this before. Every couple of years we just have to open up the phones, mm-hmm. See if you've got a number, call us. If it pans out, we'll give you 50 bones.
Every now and then we hit pay dirt and it works out very nicely, I think. Dick Van Patten might have come to us that way.
We'll do that on tomorrow's show. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don, how you doing?
Like, that's a good one.
Hey, bud.
I just realized how pathetic that sounds. Hey, we got Dick Van Patten that way.
Oh, no, listen, I'm going to make your day really well.
You want to what?
I'm going to really make your day.
Okay.
Okay, Opie and Anthony had a contest in New York.
Yep.
And they did the deed on Ken Stevens' couch.
Oh, they had people that have sex on his couch?
Right, both ways on his couch on Friday.
Beautiful.
Very
love
good.
That.
That's nice.
Anything that hurts Ken makes us happy.
Absolutely, and it bonds us with those two gentlemen.
Right. Now, the only thing I don't know what happened, because I've been out on the East End in the Hamptons today, what happened to Psycho Mark? Because Jeremy was going to so-called maybe fire him, so I kind of lost touch with that. So.
No. I couldn't tell you about that.
No, so if you want to catch up with Opie and Anthony.
Oh, you know, it's too late in the show to get a call to O&A. Maybe we'll call him tomorrow.
No,
because...
no, it isn't. It's only quarter to six. Sorry, quarter to seven. They're still doing what's up today.
I know, but we're doing our news now.
I know.
I know. I mean, it's got to be earlier in the show. Now, we have stuff to discuss with O&A also.
Yeah.
We have good stuff to discuss with O&A.
Yeah, but I thought Ken Stevens' couch, especially since you tried to leave him another message, would be pretty cool for you.
Right. Thank you. Thank you for the update.
Hey, no problem. Have a great one.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that's good. Good for O&A, having people have sex on Ken's couch.
Because you know Ken will never have it there, unless he's alone.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Welcome back, guys.
And what about the Gumar?
The Gumar.
He would have sex with the Gumar there.
Oh, sure he would. Absolutely. Is this Gladys Kravitz?
Yes, I'm making your day.
Gladys, it is July 25th.
She's allowed. July 22nd.
It was July 22nd, and it was great the fact that you were not here on Monday because she had to wait another day.
Oh, Christ.
All right, I guess I should say, Gladys, thank you for sending the nice toys for my kids.
Yeah, what did you think of your Albert Einstein look-alike thing?
I don't remember.
Gladys Kravitz is the most annoying listener we have. She's maybe one of our most faithful listeners.
Yes.
But she's one of these old housefrows in Wichita who walks around with the big
beehive.
Cran apple cans in her hair, you know, where she's taking out the frozen drink mix.
Right.
And she's got it in her hair to make her hair the big bouffant hairdo look. And
absolutely.
She names the birds after us, and she kind of revolves her whole life around this show.
I do.
And all of that is great. All that we really hate is when she calls.
And we've had a ban in place for the better part of the year. And, you know, she's violated it a couple of times. And her deadline was July 22nd, and that's why she's calling us now.
So, Gladys, what...
Don, did you see the little secret message to Frank Ahearns today?
I have no idea what you're talking about, honey.
Oh. You didn't read down about...
She's also all over the computer.
Well, just read it. It's still
read what? Oh, the secret
just
message.
Read the thing from Wichita, Kansas.
Read what?
The email to Frank Ahearns on his little hour talk today.
Oh, when he was online at the Post?
Yes. I sent him something. I told him, I said... Oh.
Gladys, why don't you just come out and tell us what you wrote to Frank Ahearns without doing... You know, we're doing a radio show. We're not on the net now, okay?
Okay.
God.
Why, Gladys?
Well, I told him, I said, also a good tip from a good friend, Don, in parentheses, on how to watch Girls on the Beach. Wear mirrored glasses and pretend you're reading a book, okay? This is what he said.
So you wrote that in his online session today.
Yeah. And they were talking about minivans, and I just threw that in, and then I threw this... What? He says, I often employ mirrored sunglasses when I'm doing my cool hand loop.
Does anybody have a friggin' idea what she's talking about?
Why she's banned. She's all over the place.
Listen to her.
Needed to know.
Crazy. Crazy bitch. Gladys Potter, the gonad gobbler. All right, Gladys.
Hey, please don't say that.
Well, Gladys, listen, I know your heart is in the right place.
Oh, Donna, I want to tell you something.
Yeah, Frida, she wants to tell you something.
Frida needs to turn the radio off. Before the boy comes back, you really should do this. You should take your wife to New York City and go see Cabaret.
You will not regret it. Listen, the one good thing about this call today from Gladys Potter, the gonad gobbler, is that we will not have to hear from her again until August 26th.
Mm-hmm. Hear, hear.
Thank you, Gladys.
Hi, guys. I love you.
Always a pleasure.
Love you. Thank you.
Bye, Gladys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Talk to you in a month. She's all over the place today.
Man.
When she starts mixing the mediums, you know, like, did you read what? No, we're doing a radio show.
Crazy bitch. She really is. I mean, but her heart's in the right place.
Yes, it is. Yes, she's very thoughtful.
She does listen to the show all the time.
Yes, she sends us gifts and stuff.
Crazy housefrau.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi.
It's Bush and Dick on the Republican ticket this time.
Nice Bush.
George W. Bush today picked Dick Cheney as his running mate.
How exciting.
The former defense secretary said to be in excellent health, despite having three heart attacks by the age of 48.
Right.
He's 59 now.
Listen, John Pop is in better health than Dick Cheney is.
Cheney's a veteran of quadruple bypass surgery. He's also had skin cancer, high cholesterol, and takes a long list of medications, but his doctors say health is not an issue.
I'm in Air Force Two, and I've missed that one pill, and I'm not quite sure what I'm going...
Christ, Louis Anderson's in better shape than this guy is.
Air France and British Airways have suspended all Concorde flights after a crash just outside of Paris. No survivors of the 109 people on board and 4 people on the ground were killed as well. This is the first ever crash of the supersonic jet. One of the 4 engines was apparently on fire during takeoff, but no word yet on what actually caused the crash.
And as we mentioned earlier, the actions of the U.S. media, as long as we thought that there were athletes or rock stars...
Americans of any stripe
or movie stars... We were interested. Uh-huh. As soon as we found out it's 100 Germans,
right.
Goodbye, back page.
Absolutely.
Next story.
Tourist headed for New York.
What about Vice President Billy Barty?
Hey. I like that.
Hi there, Vice President Billy Barty here. I've been under a doctor's care. I'm in better health than Dick Cheney, though.
O.J. Simpson's showing up on various talk shows this week to plug his new website.
Oh, crap, I forgot the tape. Tomorrow we're going to have to listen to the tape.
You've I'd love to hear that.
You've got to hear Juice like on the Today Show today. I've got the tape in the other room.
I think that's a good idea.
His planned appearance on ABC's The View has been canceled.
Well, they're just a bunch of bitches anyway.
Barbara Walters announced yesterday that the producer and the co-hosts had decided to boycott the promotional tour. But the New York Post says co-host, Star Jones, may have voted to keep Juice in the guest lineup. Jones said on the air last week she'd like to interview Simpson.
No. Here's what she said, Bruce.
Here's what Star Jones had to say. She's not finished.
In a lengthy interview.
Yeah, baby. I'm merely interpreting. 5 years ago, when she worked for Inside Edition, Jones was the only correspondent to interview O.J. during the civil trial. O.J. did appear this morning on NBC's Today Show, as Don mentioned, and he's visiting some of the cable channels today.
She said, "Hello, O.J. This is Star Jones. Meet me tonight at the corner of 42nd and Broadway and bring a big black bag of flour for the interview." Right now.
Oh, baby. The latest danger in New York Central Park isn't muggings, it's bugs. The park was shut down last night as the city began spraying for mosquitoes in Manhattan. The spraying started when officials trapped mosquitoes in Central Park that were carrying the deadly West Nile virus. There'll be more spraying in Manhattan tonight. And the skeeters were captured just a couple of blocks north of the building from which Don and Mike show broadcasts when it visits New York.
It's not like it's a population center or anything like that.
So far this summer, the virus has only been spread to birds. Last year, it killed 7 people and sickened more than 5 dozen others. The discovery of virus-carrying mosquitoes prompted the cancellation of, or rather the postponement of last night's concert by the New York Philharmonic. Some 30,000 people were expected for that.
It might force the cancellation of Frasier.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's the
Niles virus.
That's the Niles virus.
Hello, Frasier. Buzz, hold on. Got to do this. Right. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
It's another Don and Mike Las Vegas-style show. Don't miss out on the legendary fun and the top-notch adult entertainment. And now, here's Timmy O'Bibernay to tell you more.
Tomorrow, the Don and Mike Las Vegas-style show comes to Element right in my hometown, Washington, D.C. Element is right by the MCI Center at 714 6th Street Northwest. There's plenty of parking. I'll take the red line to Gallery Place. Doors open at 5, those starts at 8. And you got to be 21 to get in. For more info, 301-840-8793 or check out clubelement.com.
The Don and Mike Las Vegas style show.
For the girls, the less clothes, the better.
Don't miss it.
What's the word? We're playing crack pot.
God damn it. The Don and Mike show.
Here we are back now with Guy Burnley. Oh, even though we haven't talked about it a lot today, we also will have our countdown to the end of Cunningly Gifford with our special tribute every day starting tomorrow on this show.
Watching it this morning, it is such a swim in Lake Mead. It's the highest level of swimming in Lake Mead that I've ever seen. And the mystery guest today?
Donald Trump.
The Donald.
Yeah, right. That's the best that they can do. That told me that Kathy Lee has no showbiz friends at all. Sitting behind one of those big pieces of paper.
Right.
So you can only see the silhouette of the guy.
Absolutely.
It was obvious it was Donald Trump from his hair.
Yeah, right? From that little, like, rat tail thing that he's got in the back. And I guess the day before it was Mary Lou Henner, who's, like, number one in line to take over her job.
Right. Those are the big mystery guests that they've come up with.
And they showed the moment. Did you see her special moment when they did the flashback today?
Uh-huh.
And it's one of those deals where they used to promote one of their contests. And she's dressed up as Bambi, and he's dressed up in a rabbit suit as Thumper. And it just totally sucked. And that was one of their special moments. I mean, it just makes you realize how little talent she really has.
And in 15 years, she's virtually done nothing on that show.
Nothing at all. Nothing of any real import.
So anyway, the countdown to Friday will be the last show. We will have the total recap on Friday, but every day, starting tomorrow this week, we'll have a special Cunningly Gifford moment
Excellent.
That we'll be sharing with you. Whether it's the story about
Cody being a monster.
Sure.
Or if it was the Susan Johnson thing.
Frank driving his little Mercedes into abutments.
Right, the sweatshop. Special Tony Lee Gifford moment every day on the show this week. But now let's go back to Buzz.
The Survivor secret that leaked from a CBS website last week didn't hurt the ratings and may have helped them. Survivor got its best ratings ever on Wednesday, even though millions of people had already heard that Greg would be the eighth person to be voted off the island. Viewership was up by 1.5 million people over the week before. More than 26 million people were watching last week. Like the show needed any publicity, the publicity it got seemed to help.
You know, I still might be the only one watching Big Brother.
You might be at this point. I did it last night.
I watched a little of it last night, and I can see why a lot of people aren't tuning in. There's just... It lacks a certain energy, and it really, there's just very few moments. I think they could have gotten younger people. Maybe that would have done
it. I think the problem is that they're on every day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that unlike Survivor, they can't take the best stuff out of a week.
Mm-hmm.
That it's, they're under the pressure of getting these people saying something for over the last 24 hours.
Right.
But the biggest story was not even on Big Brother. Mm-hmm. It was the guy who got kicked off last week.
Will Mega.
The black guy, Will. Mm-hmm. And his name is not Will Mega.
No.
His real last name is something like Collins.
Right.
But he's changed it now to Will Mega.
Mm-hmm.
So he's being interviewed by Bryant Gumbel.
Because, no, good luck to you.
Because CBS is trying to get the synergy thing going where they have the Survivor people on their Today show, and then they have the people from Big Brother on their Today show.
But did you hear Will diss Bryant Gumbel last week on Survivor?
No.
Thursday night, the night that he got voted off at the very end, Julie Chen, who hosts that live version.
Right. The Connie Chung of CBS,
right. Said to Will, you'll be interviewed by Bryant Gumbel tomorrow morning on the early show. And Will said, Bryant? Bryant? And she went on to something else. He was obviously not pleased to be talking to Bryant.
Well, they had him on, I guess it was Monday morning.
Mm-hmm.
He was sitting in the chair with his Big Brother, you know, those metal briefcases.
Right.
And Bryant Gumbel is saying to this guy, so, what do you think? What's next? And this pompous ass, this guy, William, he's looking Bryant Gumbel right in the eye, and looking at the TV cameras in the eye, and he says, here's who I want to meet. First, I want to meet Sam Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Then I want to meet Singleton, mm-hmm. the TV, the movie producer.
Mm-hmm.
Then I want to meet Will Smith,
right.
And I want to be an actor.
Okay, what's my career in Hollywood?
And I have figured that there's no better way to be an actor than coming out and giving people the truth. And Bryant Gumbel said to him, "Well, why do you need two bodyguards? You came in today with bodyguards." And he said, "Jesus had bodyguards."
Hey, not self-inflated there.
Yeah, mm. Really.
That's Will.
That's inflated self-opinion of the highest order.
Good luck. Well, Will Mega.
Right.
Will Mega, great guy on a loading dock someday.
I'd be more inclined...
Will Mega, great mailman.
I'd be more inclined to watch Big Brother if they didn't know the cameras were there.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. And I know that's impossible, but it just, you know, with the microphone sitting up last night as the guy's talking to the girl with the, you know, with the ring through her nose.
Brittany.
And he's got his microphone sitting there on the end of the pillow. It's so disingenuous, the whole thing. I mean, Survivor, at least there are these challenges, and then they videotape them when the others don't know it. I think that's what I like. There's something a little more sneaky about Survivor. Big Brother is just, it's too much. It's too much. Everything is for the cameras, you know?
Well, I still enjoy watching. I got to be the only one. And the only person on that show who doesn't know that there is a mirror, a camera behind the mirror in the bathroom,
mm-hmm.
is the 41-year-old mom who wants to divorce her husband.
She's painful.
She stands in front of that mirror, and all of the other people go, you know there's a camera behind that mirror. And she picks her teeth, and plucks her eyebrow hairs, and
says, no,
there's no camera there.
Did you see it when they were all at the picnic table, and the girl with the orange hair?
Brittany.
Brittany is talking to the old woman and the old man, and the roofer, and the guy that, and the lady that's going to divorce her husband. And she's giving, the old woman is giving her most of the advice, but meanwhile, the roofer's over there just enjoying some sort of food product, scraping the bowl in his cereal or something like that, going, yeah, I agree.
It's a better show if it's on once a week.
Yeah, I think you're right.
If it's like Survivor, and you can pull out all the crap,
mm-hmm.
and then you can just give us the best being, in this case, the worst right. that people have to offer. We're just telling them, hey, we're going to shut the cameras off for one day. And they keep them on. So maybe they'll do something that's not, you know, jive.
It's a great idea. We were wondering the other day how many people would honor the honor system being used by Stephen King to sell his latest internet book. He's asking readers to voluntarily pay $1 per installment.
Right, because Stephen King needs the money.
Right. Well, USA Today reports that only 25% of the downloaders are freeloaders so far. 75% are paying the dollar. As of lunchtime yesterday, nearly 19,000 people had snagged the first installment. Stephen King's spokesman says King was nervous about the honor system plan at first, but is now feeling much better. He was going to scrap the whole thing if he didn't get at least 75%. He just barely got that 75.
You know, with all the publicity that's gotten, the fact that he only had 19,000 hits people decided to pay the dollar, that's not a great turnout on the web.
Reading's just not popular in America.
Stephen King says he barely remembers writing his novel Cujo. He says he was drinking a case of 16-ounce beers every night while writing that.
Yeah, that's why Cujo's such a good book.
Right.
He says he realized he had a problem when the state of Maine started recycling bottles and he saw how fast the dead soldiers were piling up at his house. In a nonfiction book about his growth as a writer, King says he wrote The Tommyknockers with cotton swabs in his nose to control the bleeding brought on by cocaine abuse. He says his wife, Tabitha, set up an intervention by dumping a bag of drug and alcohol-related stuff she had collected from his office.
She says, Stephen! Yes, honey.
The bag contained Coke spoons, Valium, Xanax, Robitussin, NyQuil, and Scope mouthwash, which he says he preferred to Listerine because it had a minty flavor.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Hold on, Buzz. More news, more comments coming right now.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Everybody, get out of here, there's a lobster!
It's the home of the pumpkin shampoo, the Don and Mike Show.
All right, Buzz. 13,000 people turned out Saturday in Harrison, New Jersey to try to get on HBO's The Sopranos. It was an open casting call for Italian-looking men and women. So many people showed up, the casting call had to be shut down after just 30 minutes. Police called in reinforcements to handle the traffic and the long line.
Oh, Buzz, excuse me.
Yes?
This bulletin may be coming in.
That's comfortable.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Not as great as the one you had.
Not nearly.
But not bad.
Not bad.
Egars.com. The best place to find quality cigars on the web, egars.com.
I like the wraparound mic technique you use, too. As opposed to turning to the microphone, you kind of wrapped it around and back.
Right. Well, I was afraid if I moved, I'd lose it.
Good planning.
I just had that fart held right in between my cheeks.
It's a delicate. I hope people appreciate our performance art.
And the fact that right after we fart into these microphones, we put our mouths right back in front of them.
Hi.
From our That Explains Everything department, teen sensation Britney Spears says she doesn't understand why men find her skimpy outfit so sexy.
This little girl has knockers.
Quoting her, I only wear these crop tops because other clothes would make me sweat when I dance.
Right.
She was a whore.
Oh, please.
The 18-year-old tells Germany's InStyle magazine, I never wanted this sexy image.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The picture next to the article shows Britney in a cleavage-revealing dress. But the magazine has Britney saying she's not happy with her hair, her nose, or her feet, and she thinks her legs are too short.
Ah, here's what Britney Spears had to say in regard to all of that.
You want to put it in my mouth?
She is.
She says, I want to become like Madonna.
You want to put it in my mouth?
Without all the men, gossip, and scandals. She's Britney Spears.
You want to put it in my mouth?
Thank you. Again, it's a teen sensation, Britney Spears.
You want to put it in my mouth?
There she is.
Britney Spears. A former waitress for Hooters has won a sexual harassment case against one of the chain's restaurants. Sarah Steinhoff gets $275,000.
Hello, Sarah Steinhoff.
Here's what she had to say.
You want to put it in my mouth?
Oh, watch out.
No, she's getting this money after accusing the managers in Newport, Kentucky of subjecting her to unwanted sexual advances and demeaning behavior. The 24-year-old says they tried to force her to go home with them and that one threatened to tie her up.
No, really. Here's the manager.
I choose to remember a lot of worthless crap. That's all I know.
Yeah. She got coworkers to testify that the managers would discipline their waitresses by forcing them to perform in a Friday night football bikini contest.
That's good. It's a good thing.
That's one of the managers right now, but what do you say to the fact that that was sexual harassment.
I took the circuitous route, but I found it.
Yeah, you found yourself into a lawsuit, huh?
You never know.
Well, that's right. You do know now, don't you, smart guy?
Oh.
Okay.
Now what are you?
Be silly.
Are you simulating a sex act there? What are you doing?
No, like pretty carefree.
I know.
All right. For a guy who's being sued, you're pretty happy.
My God.
Bazilli.
Right? You heard it's Bazilli.
He's a schoolyard bully.
You? Are you talking about yourself?
I'm getting senile.
Hey, Kate, lighten up.
Did he call you senile?
I thought he was calling me. Were you calling me senile?
Who cares?
Okay, I don't care either.
All right. What about me, Kate?
He's a fat turd.
Hey.
Just call me a fat turd.
She does have a nice rack, though. I'll give that to her.
Oh. Well, who are you talking
about? He's talking about his waitress again.
Did you call me a fat turd?
No, I wasn't aware of that.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Dude, I'm glad you backed off of that one.
Are you talking about Rob?
If there were no Matt Damon, no Ben Affleck.
Then there'd be Rob. Now he's rambling and I can't follow what he's saying.
What does that have to do with Rob?
Not too annoying.
What about Hooters? And that's where you're getting sued from. Your manager.
Oh, what could it be?
Yeah, what is it? It's a lawsuit is what it is, manager.
I believe he is a dumb.
He's all wound up.
One final comment on the lawsuit, please.
It's the lay of the land, my friend.
All right.
Hey, he looks pretty good in those orange shorts, though.
What happened?
Hooters says it'll appeal.
Are those a quality guest?
Right.
It's a pack of lies.
Oh, man. Powerful producer Aaron Spelling has strong-armed the WB Network into making changes in a character for one of its new shows.
Here he is, Buzz.
I do, Richie.
That is Aaron Spelling. The character was patterned much too closely, apparently, after Spelling's actress daughter, Tori.
I don't know.
Well, that's what they're saying, Alan. The show Gross Point is a parody of the kinds of primetime youth-oriented soap operas that are the Spelling's specialty.
I'll sleep for 2 or 3 hours. I'll be fine.
The producer says Spelling told him the character was, quote, too on the nose.
That's not good.
No, it isn't. The character gets an acting job because of her father. She dyes her hair the same color red as Tori's, and she has an attack of bulimia during the filming of her fictional TV show. Hey, likes it.
Right.
Sorry about the
video. Oh.
Yes,
Aaron Spelling. One more, please, Buzzy.
Let's make it this. Stand-up comic Rick Rockwell apparently made some people angry with his involvement in the Who Wants to Marry a Multimillionaire fiasco. Rockwell is losing a toenail over the deal. He says an audience member followed him to his motel room Saturday night after a nightclub appearance in Grand Forks, North Dakota.
Excuse me, Mr. Rockwell.
Rockwell says the guy assaulted him and stomped on his big toe.
Thanks, Matt.
And the nail came off,
yes.
Right?
Yes, it did.
I hate you.
Thank you, Buzz.
You bet.
For the news and the comments, Toe Tap may touch tones right now.
Yeah.
And a prize package selected especially for you. Oh, listen to this. And if you're from the D.C. area, we have 4 packs of tickets for the Redskins scrimmage against the Ravens this weekend.
For free?
Absolutely, Mike.
Excellent.
You see, we buy them from the Redskins.
And then we give them to our listeners.
And then we give them away.
That is incredibly generous.
If you're outside the area, something else nice for you. Just be the 100th person. Call my bitches right now. My bitches who are in the back room running their mouths.
They're going nuts back there.
Phone number for Toy and Lisa, 877-365-3636.
This is the Don and Mike.
Do I make you horny?
The best reason not to drive your little Mercedes convertible into the abutment. The Don and Mike Show.
Hi there, Buzz. In sports, the Boston Red Sox infielder is under investigation after police say they found illegal steroids in his car. Manny Alexander lent his car to the team's bat boy while the Red Sox were in Chicago for a weekend series against the White Sox last month. Boston police found vials and syringes in the glove compartment. The bat boy has no driver's license and has a record for drug possession.
He's not that big.
Police impounded the car, but no charges have been filed yet.
Needs to take more.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the bat boy apparently thought so.
Yeah, utility player.
Some box office workers for the Mets and Yankees are in trouble with the law for playing into the hands of big-time ticket scalpers. Word is they've channeled hundreds of thousands of dollars in good seats in the past year, including World Series tickets. Officials are calling it a conspiracy involving 8 box office workers, 7 for the Yankees, 1 for the Mets, and 7 ticket brokers. 16 people have been arrested and indicted so far. Some of them face up to 15 years in prison. One of the alleged masterminds of the operation reportedly moved $300,000 worth of tickets just this year.
Oh, and I had a message, incidentally, for David Cohen.
Oh.
Thank you. Just in case he's listening to the show tonight.
I know you bleed pinstripes.
I do.
There you go.
I do. You're a pussy, David. Quit. Please quit. You're hurting my team. You're hurting my team. America's team, the New York Yankees.
The Rocket's pitching well for you, though.
Oh, he is, yes.
Yeah, five in a row.
Rocket, good.
Terrific.
David Cohn, I'm starting to lose it.
How soon they forget.
Chuck Knoblock, no, Roadblock, whatever that guy's name is. He's another one who's lost it.
Yeah, you still like Jeter and Williams.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And Paul O'Neill's still in your camp, right?
Sure is.
You like his fiery temper.
Sure. I sure do.
It's fantastic.
After 15 years.
Derek Jeter and Bernie Williams.
Excellent. Way to go. You've been studying.
At least I remember the name.
Thanks for studying the film.
After 50 years covering the NFL, Pat Summerall says he's retiring.
Beg your pardon?
Sort of. Summerall's contract with Fox expires after the upcoming season. The network has just given him a one-year contract extension that will allow him to call his 16th Super Bowl, which is, by the way, a record.
I'll be retiring 1972. Beg your pardon, 2001.
Beg your pardon. Summerall says he's not retiring from broadcasting, though, and he says he's thinking about getting involved in other sports.
Wrestling. Hey, Pat, look at that. How about this bloody headline? It's chunks of your stomach.
Beg your pardon.
You just vomited those right out on the screen. Let me show you with a telestrator.
Yeah, it looks like Swiss cheese. Beg your pardon.
Finally, in the north of England, a two-year-old boy named Toby reached into his carton of Burger King French fries and pulled out a deep-fried lizard. He screamed, he threw up, or so the story goes. Burger King says it will be happy to investigate the incident as soon as it gets a look at the fried lizard. Quoting the boy's aunt, it's put him off Burger King for life.
Put him off.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
And meanwhile, you know, poor Wee Willie Winkle, or whatever this kid's name is, he's struggling now to go out somewhere and find a lizard.
Right.
Yes. Then he can mail the burger again.
I wouldn't think there'd be a lot of lizards in the north of England.
Time for call 100 right now. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, radio deities.
Say it.
I and I alone, 100.
Right. What's your name?
Greg.
Hi, Greg.
Virginia.
Greg, where are you from?
Leesburg, Virginia.
Greg, you've won 4 tickets to see the Redskins scrimmage the Ravens.
I'll be able to see them. It's quite the tickets for a normal game.
Well, listen, these are free. Your tickets are free. We bought them for you.
Excellent.
Friday, July 28th at FedEx Field. It's our way of saying thank you, Dan Snyder.
Yeah.
Following the game, the concert at the kickoff with Martina McBride, Blood, Sweat, and Tears at Montel Jordan, only because Weird Al Yankovic was not available.
Fantastic show.
Tickets are only $20 and available through Ticketmaster, yet you get a 4-pack of tickets for free, and we thank you for listening.
I thank you for the tickets.
Have a great time on Friday night at the stadium.
Excellent.
We'll see you tomorrow with a new episode, the Las Vegas-style show, tomorrow night.
Yeah.
And a very special birthday surprise for the Bathtub Boy on the show tomorrow for Chuck Stossel. Tell you about that later.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta go. We will see you then with a new episode. Thank you and good night, Buzz.
Thank you and good night, Don.
Thank you. Good night, Mike.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
And now, Robbie?
Friend.
Throw your beret. Trusted friend. Throw it in the air, just like Sydney. Oops.
Hey.
Hold on.
Oh.